listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. It's a new Al-Qaeda video on Al Jazeera today purported to show Osama bin Laden, the September 11th hijackers, and others preparing for the infamous attacks.
The videotape shows bin Laden outdoors in rocky terrain, embracing and chatting with some younger men. There's some advice in English printed on the screen, apparently aimed at followers of Al-Qaeda. It speaks of love for sacrificing life. Don't be afraid. Don't talk or hesitate. Just wage jihad, which means holy war. One of the young men appears to be Ramzi bin al-Shib, one of the 14 terror suspects who've just been transferred from secret CIA custody to the U.S. base at Guantanamo.
CBS's Dan Raviv there. When terror suspects do face those military tribunals there, they should have access to all of the evidence against them. That from military lawyers who say the U.S. can do no less.
The nation's top uniformed military lawyers told Congress they disagree with President Bush's proposal to allow secret classified evidence to be used against alleged terrorists. Navy Judge Advocate General Rear Admiral Bruce McDonald says under the Geneva Convention, defendants have to know the evidence against them.
I believe that's required under Common Article 3 as one of the judicial guarantees recognized as indispensable by all civilized nations.
These top military lawyers were overruled the first time the Bush administration set up rules for military commissions, which the Supreme Court threw out. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Bush in Georgia today for his fourth speech in a week in advance of the September 11th anniversary.
Sure, yes. America is safer.
Mr. Bush says terrorists understand what many critics seem not to get, that Iraq is the key battleground of Islamic extremism versus freedom in the world today. Space Shuttle Atlantis is set to fly in the morning. A working trip to space, live now to Kennedy Space Center. CBS's Peter King.
Harley, as you'll recall, this flight's been delayed first by weather, then by a problem with one of the shuttle's fuel cell generators. NASA scrubbed yesterday. Senior managers last night said no to a try today, but now shuttle program manager Wayne Hale has just said that this is something they can fly with. We expect to learn more at a briefing that's just underway. Live at the Kennedy Space Center, Peter King, CBS News.
A polling organization in Connecticut has pleaded guilty to fraud. Sometimes they made up the results, which doesn't help the public, and it sure doesn't help the political camp for which they were working.
If they were supposed to sample 200 people and couldn't get 200 interviews done, they would just make up the results to whatever interviews they needed to get to the 200 number.
That's U.S. Attorney Kevin O'Connor. Losing the fight against a huge wildfire in Montana, 300 square miles burned. Authorities say it'll only get bigger before it gets better. Firefighters from three states, meanwhile, battle a huge blaze just 20 miles west of the Las Vegas Strip. In Washington state, a dozen wildfires burn, including another 260 square mile monster near the border with Canada. Wall Street, the Dow lost nearly 75 points, NASDAQ off 12.5. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
Facebook is one of the big, big college websites. Lots of young people go there, make contacts there, put personal info on their pages there. CBS's Larry Magid says the website's effort to make that information more easily available is making a lot of people angry and concerned.
All it really does is take information that people post on their profiles and make it immediately apparent to people through a news feed. But it does make it a lot easier for stalkers to track what people are doing, and a lot of people seem to think that it's very creepy.
The latest Paris Hilton headline, she's been busted by the police and they say tested in Los Angeles, driving drunk. She says she only had one little margarita. We don't know all the circumstances, but it is known Hilton is not really happy over the poor sales of her attempt at a rock album. Only 75,000 copies sold in the first week. Critics have not exactly been effusive in their praise for it thus far. She says she was working on a rock video. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
This is for Lee Nip.
New rule. Skip the truck. President Bush is down on the ranch, and we all know what that means. Lots of pictures of him in that pickup truck, as if he's going into town to pick up a bale of hay. Okay, we get it. You're a rancher. You're clearing brush. You're a Washington outsider. You're a huge country fan. Unfortunately, that country is Saudi Arabia. New rule. When somebody dies, we shouldn't cut off their head and drill holes into it. Ted Williams belongs in the hall, not the fridge. Cryogenics is one of those technologies that just doesn't work, like the missile defense shield and hair transplants. New rule. It's just a donut. What is up with the Krispy Kreme phenomenon? It's a glob of deep-fried dough, not Super Bowl tickets. Aren't we Americans fat enough without pretending that donuts are hip?
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Today's comforting words from President Bush.
The United States Congress was right to renew the Terrorist Act, the Patriot Act, the Terrorist Prevention Act, called the Patriot Act.
Brought to you by the ABC docudrama that blames Bill Clinton for 9/11. If this one doesn't work, they have another one that pins the blame on Grover Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Why not LBJ? Why not FDR? Why not Franklin? Why not Quincy Adams? Lincoln? Anybody? You know, it's just, look, this is serious stuff. I mean, this is the most horrendous loss of life, the most horrendous attack ever on the United States. And ABC has decided to cash in, obviously, by creating a mini-series that is going to tell the story of 9/11. Okay, you can see where the entertainment industry might want to cash in on the most horrendous attack on the United States in the history of the United States. Sure, I mean, you know, that's what they do. But why not get it right? Why not educate the American people? Why not take it seriously? Why not make it a documentary or a real docudrama reenacted based on the facts available, the best available facts. Why not include both presidents? Why not include President Bill Clinton? Why not include President Bush? Why not include not just one member of the 9/11 Commission, but why not ask the 9/11 Commission itself to help bring the facts to the table so that it can be written properly, so that anybody watching it can understand what occurred, what was done, what was not done, what worked, what didn't work, what was how many times the principals of the counterterrorism and the national security departments and the State Department of the Clinton administration, how many times a week did they meet on the issue of Al-Qaeda and counterterrorism? And then why not show how many times the Bush administration's principals in charge of our national security and counterterrorism effort met? Because the answer to the first administration mentioned by me just now, the Clinton administration, is they met many times a week on Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. And the answer to the how many times did the Bush administration principals in charge of our national security meet on Al-Qaeda is zero. Zero. Why not tell the real story? Why not tell the story the way the American people can use the story to educate themselves so that they ask the proper questions of their government so that it can never happen again? Now, I will tell you why Thomas Kane, the Republican governor of New Jersey, who was a co-chairman of the presidentially created 9/11 Commission, said that, you know, you should watch this movie, and I participated in it. See, he's a politician. He is. He's a politician. He was the former governor of New Jersey. And so he thought that if he endorsed the movie, they would have to make a deal with him to give him time after the movie to explain to the American people that none of the 9/11 Commission recommendations for the security of the United States have been implemented. So he agreed to put his name on the thing so that they would trade him his good name for the ability for him to go on ABC's air and tell the American people after the miniseries, after the crocudrama, that, by the way, the 9/11 Commission has recommended any number of things that should be done to secure the United States, and none of those have been implemented. Containers are not x-rayed, or there's no radiological devices on the cranes. Every crane, every container in our ports, while you can look out there and go, oh, but Randy, there's so many containers, how do we inspect them all? Somebody else looks out at the port and says, see that crane? It's going to touch every single one of those containers. So the contact point for every one of those containers is going to be that crane. And that crane. And that crane. Let's put radiological detectors on all those cranes. It's like four cranes, five cranes, as opposed to thousands and thousands of containers. You know, there are people that are paid to think this way, and there are people that do think this way. And then there's the Bush administration that doesn't think at all. And if they do think, they think about ways to scare you. They think about ways to bamboozle you. They think about ways to propagandize you and lie to you, misrepresent and distort the facts so that we're all trashing Bill Clinton on Tuesday, September 12, 2006, headed into a midterm election. Now, there are people like Richard Benveniste, who was also a co-chairman of the 9/11 Commission, who talked to Keith Olbermann last night and explained why Tom Kane endorsed this movie in the first place. So let's do that first. Cut five, yeah.
In light of all this, in light of the bipartisanship which your commission achieved in this, the name of co-chair Mr. Kane is stamped on this program. Is that appropriate, in your opinion?
Tom Kane is a great American, and he justly deserves the approbation of the American public for the outstanding job that he did in leading the 9/11 Commission. His intention, I think, is to provide as much material as often as possible to remind the American public of what needs to be done and that the 9/11 Commission recommendations have not yet been implemented 5 years after 9/11. And there are, we can go chapter and verse into that. ABC has provided him the opportunity after this program, along with Mr. Hamilton, to discuss that very issue. However, having said that, obviously he's not infallible, and I think these defects in the first part of the show do not accurately portray the conclusions of the 9/11 Commission.
Okay, so there's the explanation. Tom Kaine is trying to do the best he can by the American people. So Tom Kaine decided, look, I'll say whatever they want me to say about this thing. Quite frankly, I know it's not true because I was a co-author of the 9/11 Commission report, and I know it's inaccurate, but they'll give me free airtime, and then I could use that airtime to tell the American people that 5 years after the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission, or 5 years after 9/11, there is no implementation of the recommendations that the 9/11 Commission made, which they considered to be the most important work they did. Obviously, they never discussed many things leading up to 9/11. They never looked at all these NORAD operations that were going on. They never looked at why Dick Cheney was in charge of them. They never looked at, a vigilant guardian and this guardian and that guardian, why NORAD was so far away from the homeland on purpose on that day, wargaming for exactly what happened to us. Wargaming for using airplanes as missiles to attack the United States. That's what NORAD's war games were about that day, and there were many of them. There were more than seven of them going on. So he said, you know what, they'll give me free airtime. I could say the ports haven't been secured, chemical plants haven't been secured, containers aren't inspected, airlines don't cross-check their terror watch lists with their passenger lists. None of this has gone on. We are wide open. The borders are porous. The borders are wide open. We're giving more student visas to people who come right out of these madrasas to enter the United States, to study here, to take flying lessons here, to study chemical engineering here. None of the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission have been implemented, and that's what I came here to tell you tonight. So that's why he did it. I disagree that you should horse trade or have to horse trade with the American Broadcasting Company in order to get the truth out. With that said, here's what Richard Benveniste said about the material he saw.
Unfortunately, in the material I saw relating to the first part of the program, there are errors, there are mischaracterizations, including the portrayal of President Clinton as being so distracted by the Monica Lewinsky affair that he took his eye off the ball in connection with his obligations to protect us against terrorism. But in fact, the commission's report comes to the opposite conclusion, and that is that the Lewinsky affair did not deter him from launching missile attacks at bin Laden's strongholds in Afghanistan and elsewhere. And yet, at the time, Clinton was attacked for wag the dog, for trying to distract away from the Lewinsky affair. And so this is very inaccurate and unfair in that regard.
It's incredible because I remember defending the strike on Afghanistan and Sudan. I remember the cruise missile strike. I remember when it happened. I remember the audience screaming at me. They didn't know where Afghanistan was. They didn't have any idea who was on. Nobody knew the name Osama bin Laden. Nobody knew anything about, the 93 World Trade Center bomb plot except for New Yorkers. This country didn't know. This country has no idea how many people died in that bombing. They didn't even know that people were prosecuted and that they're serving life sentences. They have no idea who the blind sheikh was. They have no idea about any of this stuff. They just were living in fantasy land. ABC. So, on the one hand, they attack Clinton for wagging the dog, for trying to take out Osama bin Laden. He did take out hundreds of al-Qaeda with those strikes. Hundreds of them. And they scream, wag the dog. And the other thing was, he attacked an aspirin factory. Remember that? The Al-Shifa pharmaceutical thing. He attacked an aspirin factory. And I'm sitting there going, you have no idea what you're talking about. There is a terrorist threat against the United States. There are people plotting and planning to recreate what they couldn't do in the 93 attack. Are you nuts, man? Do you want the president not to pay attention to national security because the Republicans can't do anything but concentrate on an affair between two consenting adults? So you want the president to go down that bad road too? Thank God you have a president who says, not on my watch. You can indict me, you can indict my friends, you can jail my friends, you can accuse me of being a murderer or rape. It doesn't matter, I'm the president. I have to defend the United States. And now they turn around and say, well, we didn't exactly mean to say it was wag the dog. What we meant to say was it wasn't enough. What? They're lunatics, man. And you cannot put your hopes and dreams and your future and your national security in the hands of lunatics. And that's what pisses me off more than any other thing. That's what makes me so completely angry, is that the people who say they love America don't mind that it's in the hands of lunatics. And the people who know that it's in the hands of lunatics, who truly love this country and take their citizenry and their obligation to the Constitution, to uphold it, to make sure that the questions are being asked and that the government is accountable to the people, we're the ones that are being smeared constantly as being America haters, when it's exactly the other way around. Just like it's exactly the other way around that he did not wag the dog. He tried to kill Osama bin Laden, instead took out a whole bunch of Al-Qaeda for you, took the heat, and now they're saying, oh, he didn't do enough. No war for Monica is now not enough war. They're liars, they're fabricators, they're propagandists, and that ABC, if ABC airs this, they are complicit. And I hope there's a lawsuit. I hope there's a defamation lawsuit. I really do. 20 after.
You're listening to The Randy Rhoads Show. Transcripts available at Carl Rove's office. This is Air America Radio.
It's The Morning Retort with...
You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready? New rule number one. Enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Some clips, because people were on the TV yesterday who were part of the effort to capture or kill Osama bin Laden, and had managed to kill hundreds of al-Qaeda during the Clinton administration. No, the job was not complete. No, we did not capture or kill Osama bin Laden. And 5 years after 9/11, we still have not captured or killed Osama bin Laden. Okay, so how in the world do they put out a biased documentary that has to change the history of the Clinton administration's efforts to capture or kill Osama bin Laden in order to persuade you that it's all Bill Clinton's fault, even though George Bush has not captured or killed Osama bin Laden. But obviously the bias was so that George comes out looking good and Clinton comes out looking bad right ahead of an election. It's just disgusting to me that they would fool with something that no party has any pride over, or should have no pride about, and that is that the United States was attacked on 9/11. Unfortunately for the Bush administration, it was on his watch. And when Clinton had to deal with the first bombing of the World Trade Center, it was literally 6 weeks after he became the president of the United States of America. He never blamed Georgie's daddy. But if you wanted to know why Osama bin Laden became Osama bin Laden, it was obvious. It was because he said that it was because we had, after the Gulf War, won Saudi Arabia over enough to have them let us put a base with 10,000 soldiers stationed in Saudi Arabia on Saudi soil. That's what did it for Osama bin Laden. That and the Israeli-Palestinian occupation. Okay, so here's Roger Cressy commenting yesterday on Scarborough County. He was the deputy counterterrorism czar. He was directly under Richard Clark.
Roger, let me begin with you. Obviously, there are parts of this docudrama that are more drama than fact. But talk about Bill Clinton and the central premise by ABC that he should have done more to get bin Laden.
Joe, what's amazing about this, based on what I've seen so far, is how much they've gotten wrong. They got the small stuff wrong, such as Khalid Sheikh Mohammed instructing Ahmed Rassam to carry out the Millennium attack. Then they get the big stuff wrong, this fantasy about how we had a CIA officer and the Northern Alliance leader, Ahmed Massoud, looking at bin Laden, and they breathlessly called the White House to say, we need to take him out. And the White House said no. I mean, it's sheer fantasy. So if they want to critique the Clinton administration and the Bush administration based on fact, I think that's fine. But what ABC has done here is something straight out of Disney and Fantasyland. It's factually wrong, and that's shameful.
It seems to me that if they made ABC made a movie about Caligula, it would read like the Bible.
The Randy Rhoads Show. Radio. Only smarter. This is Air America Radio.
You're listening to AM 13.
major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
When you choose a...
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things and going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just do something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions of folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Okay, 34 after, and here, I mean, they were, everybody who cares about historical fact and not misrepresent, I mean, you know, think about it. Everybody is very, 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 very nervous, to say the least, about the president of Iran, Mr. Ahmadinejad, a mad in the head, whatever, because why? Because he lies about extraordinary historical events. He lies about them. You know, Mr. Ahmad in the head has said the Holocaust never happened. Now, there are Americans who say that crap, but it is crap, and they are to be pitied, people like that. But when you have a man who is a president, when you have a man who is a leader of a nation, albeit a smaller nation, and he lies about a historical event that is so sad and so massive and so perverted and so evil as the Holocaust was, then you know what you've got on your hands is a madman, correct? Well, if you're going to point the finger at him, you better look at your own president. This is a large country, a superpower with nuclear weapons, lots of them, a giant arsenal. We violate the non-proliferation treaties we've signed. We violate torture bans. We do all this stuff, right? And now you've got the president and a party of Republicans who are willing to deny that the president of the United States of America on 9/11 knew that an airplane hit the World Trade Tower. And decided to go ahead with a photo op in a second grade classroom. Never had one single meeting of the principals who are in charge of our security, National Security Agency, the advisor there, the counterterrorism czar, who was Richard Clark for Bush 2, was also Roger Cressy during that period of time. Was also, I mean, it was the George Tenet was still the CIA director. I mean, they couldn't have sucked that bad, huh? Because he kept them after Clinton. And the difference between Clinton at the top of the food chain as commander-in-chief and president of the United States and Bush was Clinton kept on convening meetings, creating a pipeline. He created the counterterrorism position. He created Richard Clark's job. He created a counterterrorism department in the FBI. Created all these things. They met constantly. They met religiously. They never took their eyes off of Osama bin Laden after 1996. By 1998, they had issued an order to kill him if they ever had actionable intelligence. That it was a standing order. George Tenet had the thumbs up on that. He had the order from the president. Didn't have to ask the president anything. He had called off many operations. This movie is going to say that President Clinton did, or that Madeleine Albright did, or that Sandy Berger did. That is just not true. It's false. So if you're going to have people who are denying the Holocaust, who you say are mad in the head, and I agree with you, any Holocaust denier is nuts. There's something seriously wrong with them. But you're not going to be this angry about a president who denies a good effort, not a great effort, because we did not get Osama bin Laden. On the part of the previous president, who did not let us get attacked on the millennium, did thwart many plots like Project Bajinka, which you now know was real because the alleged London plot was based on that. Airliners blowing up over the oceans. The millennium bomb plot, which was to attack various places around this country, mostly on the eastern and western seaboard, LAX, Seattle Space Needle, Holland and Lincoln Tunnel here in New York and New Jersey. And if you know that Bill Clinton did keep you safe and that he did meet regularly, why would they choose to do this to a president who did keep you safe but did not catch Osama bin Laden? Something he said when Clinton left, you know, he told you the truth. He said two of the things that he regrets the most about his presidency was the genocide in Rwanda and not acting sooner. And the other thing he said he regretted was not capturing or killing Osama bin Laden. This president won't admit that he's not captured or killed Osama bin Laden. When asked if he has any regrets, he says no, he's not made any mistakes. When I asked how much time he spends on Osama bin Laden, or does he know where he is, he says...
So I don't know where he is. Nor do, you know, I just don't spend that much time on him.
I'm sorry, but who is ever vigilant? Who stands on the wall at night and says, not on my watch? Bill Clinton or George Bush? What, the one thing that they have in common, believe it or not, is that neither one of them have been able to capture or kill this guy. The place where they diverge is that Bill Clinton tried repeatedly and managed to kill a bunch of al-Qaeda. But George Bush, on the other hand, knew that Osama bin Laden was in Tora Bora, knew that they were walking this road into Pakistan, thousands of them, convoys, boots on the ground, hundreds, thousands of them, and chose to let that happen. Allowed for flights from Kunduz in Afghanistan, just north of Tora Bora, to take place, airlifting thousands of them into Pakistan. Helicopters landing in Tora Bora. Our own special forces troops tell the newspapers about this. One special forces guy is quoted in the small newspaper as saying, there he goes. All right. Carolyn in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hi.
Hey.
I totally agree with you and all this stuff, and I think it's really important that we do whatever we can to get this ABC program either fixed or pulled. And I would suggest that people communicate to the network that if it airs with all of these factual errors that they have been duly warned about, according to the letters you read earlier this afternoon, that if it airs with those factual errors, that you will no longer trust the credibility of ABC News, and I would stop watching ABC News. If they have anything important, we're going to hear it on your show, we're going to hear it on Keith Olbermann, we're going to hear it like the Brian Ross report. I didn't see that. You know, I didn't see it when it aired live, but I've certainly
Can you imagine how frustrated Brian Ross must be? I mean, here Brian Ross gets this unbelievable story, the story that Pakistan has reached a peace agreement with militants in northern Waziristan who are protecting, or at least believed to be protecting, those that we allowed to be airlifted out of Afghanistan into that area in Pakistan, and those that were able to march down that road out of Tora Bora, which we refused to put troops on, into that area, and that those people will protect Osama bin Laden come hell or high water, and that Musharraf, in the native language of Pakistan, tells the Pakistani people on a news broadcast that look, I've done everything to protect the Taliban, and I will always protect the Taliban. I will protect Osama bin Laden. You know that about me. I am the Pakistani president. And then in English, tells the American people through his ambassador, oh, well, you know, if we found Osama bin Laden, of course we'd turn him over to the United States. And then Brian Ross is put on a back burner in favor of Pakistani propaganda. You know, he must be so frustrated, because on his blog, he actually put the transcript of the conversation he had with the Pakistani prime minister, who said, no, if Osama bin Laden is there, he can stay as long as he decides to live a peaceful life.
Right.
And his own company just totally trashes his reporting. You can't trust ABC News, and it's a shame, because they do have some good reporters over there.
Right.
But obviously, you report something that the administration doesn't like, and they call the head of your network. Or, I'm following a story now. Greg Pallister reported a story that got the attention of the Department of Homeland Security, and they personally called him. Now, if Greg Pallister is getting calls from the Department of Homeland Security, what other reporters are being threatened or called by the U.S. American government to interfere in their reporting?
Yeah.
It's unconscionable what's going on in this country.
And we really do not want this thing to air, because all of a sudden it will, you know, if all these factual errors are put out there, people will hear that. We've seen this happen in the past 5 years, time and time again, that a lie gets out there, and all of a sudden it's, let's call it truthiness, you know, that all of a sudden people are believing that it's real when it's not.
Look, if George Bush wanted to find Osama bin Laden, all he had to do is pick up the phone and call him. But that's beyond the point. The point here is that the American free press is no longer free, that it is single-party control in this country, that it is a fusing of corporate titans, like media titans. You know, the media is owned by five people. Five giant corporations own everything you see and everything you hear, with the exception of Air America and National Public Radio, okay? And they've got big rules over it at National Public Radio, big, huge rules. So, and we don't. But truly, everything you hear is managed by a corporation. Everything you see is managed by five corporations. It's Disney, it's Viacom, it's General Electric, that's NBC and MSNBC, CNN is AOL Time Warner. I mean, these are giant corporations. They get a phone call from the White House, they're going to pull a story. There's no free press.
I'm well aware.
And just so that people know I'm being fair, do you know who did that? You know who allowed that to happen on his watch? That was Bill Clinton.
Yep.
That was the Republican Congress passed the 1996 Telecommunications Deregulation Act, and Clinton signed it. Said, let the market decide.
Oh.
Yeah, but the market can't decide because the stories are being killed.
Yeah. So, I used to work for a network-owned local television station, so I'm well aware of the control.
Yeah. I mean, the swift boning of John Kerry, people, everyone, watch the TV, and all the people with their little American flag pins, didn't that freak you out? Why, because it wasn't a big red armband with a symbol on it that looked kind of creepily pagan? The little freaking flag, it's like talking to each other. I'm going to support them. I won't fall out of line. You can count on me. I have an open mic, but I'm all right. I'm going to do what's right for Bush. We have no free press. We're in trouble, people. We're in trouble. Propaganda is now inside the United States. It's illegal to do that, but it already is. It's here. 46 after.
The Randy Rhoads Show, supporting the troops by telling the truth. This is Air America Radio.
It's the Randy Rhoads Show.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beat Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
I'm Scott Thorington, morning co-host on AM 1320's Morning Retort. More young people are becoming infected with AIDS than ever before. But now you can be part of the solution. Help raise awareness and save lives by joining me and show up for the Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk. Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
Freedom cannot be forced into existence, nor can it be won through painful struggle.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
Freedom cannot be bought or sold. It has nothing to do with one's social status. One's profession is of no consequence.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
In order for you to accept yourself as you are and live with your soul at peace, you must simply teach yourself to let it be. Only then will you discover freedom.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Hi, this is Jackie Schultz.
And Nisa Davis Hayden.
From the Studio Theater in downtown Sacramento.
And we need your support.
We have a great show at the theater, and we want to make a special offer to all of you AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel listeners. Our show is the Tony-nominated musical Pump Boys and Dinettes. Come see the show that audience members are saying will melt your troubles away.
Welcome to Highway 57, somewhere between Frog Level and Smyrna. It's 1982, and on one side of the road is a gas station run by four happy-go-lucky guys who provide service with a smile. Opposite, the Cup Sisters own the diner where fun is always on the menu.
The entire performance is filled with humor and song and transports the audience to a simpler, more relaxed time.
Each AM 1320 listener that mentions this ad gets $5 off their ticket. Pump Boys and Dinettes plays Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 2 through October 8. Call the box office at 446-2668 or go to thestudiotheater.net. We need your support.
Who has been on our show a couple of times, maybe three or four times, actually. He wrote The Man Who Sold the War, an unbelievably eye-opening story about propaganda for Rolling Stone magazine, and it was about the Rendon Group, and he's continued on writing about the National Security Agency. Of course, he wrote about that years and years ago in a book called The Puzzle Palace, and he's just an amazing guy with unique interests that predate our unique interest in national security. He's always had interest in national security. So here's James Bamford on MSNBC yesterday talking about this ridiculous crockumentary.
You know, one of the problems, however, is that it's made up. This is fiction.
It's fiction.
This is not real.
Not real.
One of my friends actually was a consultant to this production, an FBI agent who worked in 9/11. He quit halfway through because he thought they were making things up. So what you have here is Hollywood basically trying to take advantage of 9/11. You have the Bush administration trying to take advantage of 9/11. For its own political purposes, fear-mongering and so forth, justifying the war in Iraq. So, you know, I'd be very happy just to let 9/11 come up and have us memorialize it for the people who died there instead of exploiting it for either political or entertainment value.
What's so hard about that? What's so hard about having heartfelt memorials? What's so hard about having a 5 minutes of silence in the United States every September 11th? Where every American, wherever you are, you don't have to gather anywhere, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to report to, you know, a central location, you don't have to go to the town square, you don't have to go to the church, you just, wherever you are, at 8:47 in the morning, on a September 11th, from here on out, 5 minutes, no one in this country speaks. It's not an original idea. You know where I got it? When I was in Holland. When I was in Holland, they have a thing called Remembrance Day, and it's about the Holocaust. And part of the, some of the Dutch people protected the Jews, and some of the Dutch people did not. And so what they do, because it's a guilty thing for some families, and it's a proud, proud moment for other families, is nobody says anything. For 5 minutes. It's very moving. I went there and I did not know that I would be there on Remembrance Day. I had no idea that there was such a thing. You know, we always have a minute of silence. 5 minutes, no one talks. No matter where they are, everybody just stops. No, instead we have to either politicize it, one party against another, one president against another, one administration against another. One administration, by the way, kept us safe and the other one did not. But okay, never mind that. Now we find out that there were FBI agents working on this thing who quit because they were making crap up. Who would do this? Who in their patriotic mind would think it was smart to put propaganda on the TV on the fifth anniversary of 9/11? I hate to put myself in the shoes of one of the families because I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. And that they're going to have to sit through this for two nights? Sit through this spew? It's just frightening to me. I can't even get over it. I cannot tell you that propaganda inside the United States, my God, we always did propaganda. We dropped leaflets and we would have, radio broadcasts and, listen, but it was always outside of our borders. We never propagandized our own people, for God's sake. Only Hitler would do such a thing. It's just so odd that he brought up fascism and made it okay to say the word. Thank you for that. Next time somebody asks, did George Bush ever do anything good? Say, yeah, he made it permissible to bring up the word fascism again without having people go, oh, that's strong. Because he could never use the word. People go, oh, that's strong. That has to do with the Holocaust. Oh, no. Now you've mentioned the Holocaust and you can't say anything. Do you know what I mean? And he's made it okay. And let me just play for you what goes on the right wing, okay, on the radio there. Well, let me tell you what's concerning them.
Because you must know the difference between dissent from the Iraq war and a war on terror and undermining it. And any American that undermines that war with our soldiers in the field,
like
or undermines the war on terror with 3,000 dead on 9/11, is a traitor.
Hmm.
Everybody got it?
Mm-hmm.
Dissent? Fine.
Okay.
Undermining? You're a traitor.
Really?
Got it?
ABC?
So, all those clowns over at the liberal radio network, we could incarcerate them immediately. Will you have that done, please? Send over the FBI and just put them in chains? Because they, they're undermining everything. And they don't care. Couldn't care less.
So, Bill O'Reilly wants the FBI to come and arrest me for being a traitor to this nation, based on his logic that anyone who undermines the war on terror with 3,000 dead on 9/11 is a traitor. Now, who's doing that? Who's undermining the memory of the 3,000 dead? Who's undermining what those families went through? Who's undermining the effort to get Osama bin Laden? Could it be me, or would it be ABC and Fox News?
You're listening to The Randy Rhoads Show.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide non-insurance medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of your current health condition. As a member, you'll save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest health care networks in the country. To sign up or learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your health care every year, call for your free brochure. 1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036. Or you can visit Qualified Health on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Healthcare membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today. 1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
New rule. No more whining about the French. At least they're standing up to the Bush administration, which is more than I can say for the Democrats. And by the way, it doesn't make me un-American to say I'd rather live in Paris than in places where cheese only comes in individually wrapped slices. New rule. Secretary Ridge,
We know you're running this huge Orwellian organization. There's no need to rub our face in it. New rule. No gay fraternities. Apparently there are now dozens of them. Why bother? If you're gay, you already have a much better way of bonding with another man than the chug-a-lug. A dirty show this week. Oh, boy.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
AM 1320 KCTC. Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Kind of.
It is a warning, and they're clearly showing us that they do have the capability to hit us again just like they did 5 years ago.
The president says, not if I can help it.
We will keep steady pressure, unrelenting pressure on al-Qaeda and its associates.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's a taunting tape. Described by an Al Jazeera anchorman, this newly released al-Qaeda video shows Osama bin Laden in an Afghan training camp more than 5 years ago, purportedly meeting with some of the planners of the 9/11 attacks. In a separate audio tape, a man identified as the new leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq is heard making a fiery speech calling on all mujahideen to unite on the battlefield and predicting defeat for the United States and its allies. Coming just days before the 9/11 anniversary, al-Qaeda is clearly sending a message.
They knew that it would get widespread distribution because of the anniversary date, and they want to also indicate, look, we're still out there, we're still enemies of the United States, we're still capable of carrying out attacks against the United States.
Terrorism expert Neil Livingstone. President Bush, in his latest speech on terrorism, told an audience in Georgia today that the nation is safer than it was in 2001.
Over the past 5 years, we have waged an unprecedented campaign against terror at home and abroad. And that campaign has succeeded in protecting the homeland.
Now this.
Diane Mintz is a realtor. She helps people buy and sell real estate. But those aren't the only people Diane helps.
Every year I send inner-city children to camp.
She knows that something that the kids may learn from camp may change their life completely.
The Realtor Code of Ethics is about treating people fairly and honestly. I make a promise to conduct business fairly, and I've also made a promise to these kids.
Across the country, realtors like Diane Mintz are making a difference in their communities and setting examples for others to do the same. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
That first cup of coffee in the morning.
A bear hug from one of my kids.
Simple wonders are the little things in life that make a big difference.
Another simple wonder is Bayer aspirin. It's amazing on pain.
And it can help save lives.
Tell Bayer aspirin your simple wonder. Plus enter for a chance to win up to $10,000. Just go to wonderdrug.com and your little wonders might just pay off big. No purchase necessary. For rules and free entry information, call 800-353-3343. Sweepstakes ends 10/31/06. U.S. residents 18 or older. Void where prohibited. Use as directed.
One of the men shown in today's al-Qaeda video is believed to be Ramzi bin al-Shib, one of the 14 suspected terrorists now in Guantanamo Bay awaiting trial. President Bush urges Congress to approve his plan for military tribunals, but the military's own lawyers are up in arms about one aspect of the plan. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports on a hearing today.
The nation's top uniformed military lawyers told Congress they disagree with President Bush's proposal to allow secret classified evidence to be used against alleged terrorists. Navy Judge Advocate General Rear Admiral Bruce McDonald says under the Geneva Convention, defendants have to know the evidence against them.
I believe that's required under Common Article 3 as one of the judicial guarantees recognized as indispensable by all civilized nations.
These top military lawyers were overruled the first time the Bush administration set up rules for military commissions, which the Supreme Court threw out. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Former Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage says he offered his resignation to Secretary Colin Powell after realizing he'd exposed CIA officer Valerie Plame in a casual comment to columnist Robert Novak. In an exclusive interview with CBS News correspondent David Martin, Armitage says he feels terrible every day about letting down Plame and her husband, Ambassador Joe Wilson.
I bore them no ill will. It caused them a great deal of distress, all inadvertent, and I'm not happy about that.
You feel you owe the Wilsons an apology?
I think I've just done it.
Asked if the leak was an effort to discredit Ambassador Wilson, who'd publicly questioned the reasons for invading Iraq, Armitage said, hell no. Tony Blair became a casualty of the war in Iraq today. Under intense pressure from members of his own party, the British Prime Minister announced plans to leave office within a year. 11:41 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. That's the new launch time for Space Shuttle Atlantis. CBS News correspondent Peter King joins us live from the Kennedy Space Center.
NASA scrubbed early yesterday after a problem with one of the shuttle's three fuel cell generators. Last night, senior managers said no to trying again today, but now they're ready to go. Program manager Wayne Hale says the decision wasn't unanimous, but this is no rush to fly either.
We have stood down 2 days to make sure that we are safe to fly.
And he says the shuttle could go and return home safely on one or two fuel cells if the troubled system goes down. Bill?
Peter King will be there for the launch. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
It's here. NFL kickoff weekend on NBC. Tonight, the Super Bowl...
Are you having trouble?
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
I'm going to tell all you fascists, you may be surprised. People all over this world are getting organized to fight. You fascists are bound to lose.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. We're more than just empty slogans, because this is where truth stops to have a chat. The left just got a little bit louder on The Majority Report.
It is Thursday, September 7th, 2006, in the era of Republican lies and conservative delusion. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We got a barn burner for you tonight, folks. Brent Budowski is going to be here. He's a former legislative aide to U.S. Senator Lloyd Bentsen, current member of the International Advisory Council of the Intelligence Summit. And he called today in the Huffington Post for progressives to boycott ABC and its affiliates and Disney. We're going to talk about that with him on this program. And we're going to put a link up. I think it's Write Letters to ABC. You know what side I'm talking about, right? We're going to talk about the most effective way to make ABC feel the pain here. If they're going to lie to the American public, and it's not so much just that they're lying, because, you know, they also offer According to Jim, which arguably is also equally offensive. But the real point here is that they're claiming this is some type of documentary, that this is based on the 9/11 Commission report, except for at times when it's not. I mean, that's sort of having it both ways, isn't it? It's based on a combination of the 9/11 Commission report and Rush Limbaugh's fantasies. We just cut out the part about going down to the Dominican with Viagra. We're also going to be talking to David Corn, Washington editor of The Nation magazine, co-author of a great new book called Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin, Scandal, and the Selling of the Iraq War. And, of course, he had this huge Valerie Plame bombshell that he and his co-author, Michael Isikoff, came up with, which we will talk at length, and we'll talk more to David about the book. And, of course, it's Thursday, so we're going to be talking to Atreos from the blog Eschaton. And now, folks, before we get into that, you know, if you are a regular listener to this program, that I am not one to complain about things.
Wait. You don't complain about things?
In general. In general, I don't complain about, I have complaints about the way the country is run. But I'm saying, you know, in the way that we do, well, I was going to say in the way that we do business here, but I was going to say specifically with my staff. We have a crack staff here at the Majority Report.
I can't disagree with that.
Well, I've got a bone to pick with you guys. Because apparently, Colbert and Jon Stewart have a little better public relations than we do, a little bit better media push. Here is one of these right-wingers, Fred Phelps. You can actually go to his website. I think it's God Hates... No, let's not even give it up. He's one of these right-wingers who, you know, one of these American Taliban that have basically taken over the Republican Party. And here he is on his own WBC video news program, which I guess you get on... And we got this clip, incidentally, courtesy of... What's the website?
EvangelicalRight.com.
EvangelicalRight.com. Our buddy Lanham last night, who wrote the Evangelicals Guide to, or Sinner's Guide to the Evangelicals. Evangelical Right was on his last. He's got a great website. I told him we're going to be pulling stuff off this constantly. This is one of those things. It's unbelievable. It's worth going to see the beginning of the video of this. But listen to this. This is number three.
Comedian Jon Stewart and his hooligan sidekick, Stephen Colbert, of the Communist Central TV network, are two mockers and scoffers who like to blaspheme God and Westboro Baptist Church. At the Emmy Awards nonsense last week, Colbert began his silliness by bellowing out at the audience, "Good evening, godless sodomites." America has become a nation of godless sodomites who mock and scoff about their sodomite sins, thereby demonstrating that America is a nation of fag-enabling fools, because only fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14:9.
Yes.
So strong and pervasive was the satanic spirit of mockery. Listen up, America. Hear these solemn words and weep for your sodomite sins. It is, moreover, additional proof that we're living in the last of the last days. Just before the return of Jesus Christ with his mighty angels in power and glory to punish those that know not God and obey not the gospel, punished with everlasting destruction, with fire and brimstone from the presence of the Lord. Knowing this first, scriptures say, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, Jon Stewarts, Stephen Colberts.
Now, I got a bone to pick with my producers. How is it that Colbert and Stewart get inserted into the Bible, and we can barely get any press in, we can't even get on their shows?
You got on the New York Post recently.
It will come at the end of days, as is written in the gospel, that God will smite the scoffers and the Jon Stewarts and the Stephen Colberts. I guess he's not going to go after that guy, the mind of Menendez or whatever that guy, Mencia.
Mind of Mencia.
I don't know. I don't watch that program. I got to be honest with you. I don't watch much on Comedy Central. But with that said, you know, why are these guys getting smoked? I'm not enough of a scoffer, apparently.
You'll get smoked yourself someday.
Thank you, Mark.
I promise.
I appreciate it. On that note, also, I have some good news. I am not going to be fired, which is good news. And we are going to be moving the program to 9 to 12 a.m. in the mornings, starting September 18th. Monday morning, September 18th, 9 to 12 in the morning. I will talk more about this later in the program, and I will mention it in the coming days. But I wanted to thank, we got, I don't know, 14, 15,000 emails of support, which were huge in, I think, making this happen. And I want to thank the People's Email Network and of course, Atreos and Marcos Melitzis and John Amano at Crooks and Liars and Bill Scher, who spread the word. And I want to thank you, our listeners, for keeping me from being fired. In my book, that's a good thing. People can differ. But now, let's move on to more of these American Taliban. And these people aren't just the, you know, when we talk about the Fred Phelps, we're talking about the base of the Republican Party. But it's not just the base. It's actually the leaders of the Republican Party even the technocrats of the Republican Party. From the Washington Post, September 7, 2006, for the U.S. Office of Special Counsel, charged with protecting federal workers and whistleblowers from illegal treatment, it seemed an effort to protect its own employees from crimes of fashion. Last month, the agency devoted part of its employee newsletter to business casual do's and don'ts. Tight pants, short skirts, long fingernails, they're out, folks. Khaki trousers for everyone are in. This is fantastic. I haven't seen the entire employee handbook, so I don't know, or newsletter. I don't know if actually burkas are now required for the women who work at this place. For men, avoid sneakers for receptions. Leave earrings at home and strap on a conservative watch. Women, wear the conservative watch. Plus tailored pants, tailored shirts, tailored sweaters, and a tailored purse that hangs on your shoulder. You know, ones that hang on your shoulder is often advantageous as it frees your hands for greetings, handshakes, or holding a beverage. So for you grown-up women who are working at the Office of Special Counsel, see, the benefit of having one of those handbags is then you can actually do things with your hands if you sling it over your shoulder. What some employees found ironic, coming from an agency whose job includes fighting workplace sex discrimination, was the advice that women avoid tight pants and, quote, before choosing a skirt to wear, sit down in it facing a mirror. You couldn't help but laugh at it when you saw it, but then people took it more seriously and became offended and insulted, said an office investigator who spoke on the condition of anonymity for fear of reprisal. Now, this is the office that's supposed to protect whistleblowers. And this investigator is worried that he's going to get reprisals for blowing the whistle on the agency that's supposed to help whistleblowers. This came through our boss. How's that going to make us feel? Now, the boss, apparently, is this guy, Special Counsel Scott J. Block, who is a Kansas lawyer who was deputy director and counsel at the Justice Department's Task Force for Faith-Based and Community Initiatives.
Surprise!
He was appointed by Bush to be the special counsel. So now you've got this guy who's obviously a raging right-winger American Taliban telling the women in his office that, look, you're going to want to watch the hemline of your skirt. I don't want to see any ankles showing here. No shoulders. And we're going to work our way up to, let's cut down on how much face you're showing. The clothing flap is the silliest in a string of controversies, beginning with the start of Block's five-year term in January 2004. Early on, he was accused of failing to enforce a long-standing policy against bias in the federal workplace based on sexual orientation. This is the guy who's supposed to protect these rights. I guess that's a safe bet, because if you get brought up on charges, it's much easier for you to dismiss them. Since then, Block has also been accused of retaliating against employees who disagreed with his policies, in other words, whistleblowers, and of tossing out legitimate complaints and whistleblower cases to claim progress in reducing in the office backlog. So in other words, we've got all these whistleblower complaints. How are we going to deal with this? I know. Throw them in the trash. I'm making progress. And now if we can just get those damn women to stop showing their toes in our office. The Office of Personnel Management Inspector General is investigating the allegations. Is this not a sad situation where we have so many investigations of the special counsel who's supposed to be investigating workplace harassment? I don't know, maybe it's just me. When we come back, we're going to talk about this ABC thing. We're also going to tear apart George Bush's latest initiative to politicize terror. And good news on the ABC front. Apparently, Scholastic Books has backed down. We'll be right back on the Majority Report.
Killing time before the rapture.
The end is near. We are all going to die.
Call Sam Cedar at 866-303-2270. Sam Cedar's Majority Report.
You make the Lord very nervous.
On Air America Radio.
Annoy a conservative.
So hot today in New York City, that naked guy on the subway was screaming, "Who's crazy now?" Hot. Got him. Hot down in Washington, D.C., Dick Cheney replaced his pacemaker with an ice maker. Is that hot? It's so hot, Christie Brinkley is now dating Ben and Jerry.
Whoa!
It's so hot today, ladies and gentlemen, George W. Bush told Al Roker to stop doing that shit. That's what he said. That's what President Bush said at the G8 summit. He was overheard using a dirty language at the G8 summit. And not only that, later he was ejected for headbutting.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Welcome to Los Angeles, where I believe the official sunscreen is now lead, isn't it, pretty much? Oh, my God, this heat. I was sweating like Naomi Campbell trying to hire a maid. It was so hot today. Woo! It was so hot in Hollywood today. Brad and Angelina adopted Ben and Jerry. Did you know that? It was so hot in Encino. Michael Jackson actually stopped at a Young Boys lemonade stand and just bought the lemonade. You know the worst part about this heat wave across the country is Al Gore walking around going, "I told you so." Actually, if Al Gore's movie on global warming is correct, as you know, the ice caps are shrinking. You all know about that. The glaciers are shrinking. The only thing not shrinking, Al Gore, apparently. Have you seen Al? Really, not shrinking. I tell you, the heat, it puts people in a bad mood. You know, in fact, coming into work today, people were swearing like President Bush near an open mic. It was unbelievable.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Back to Sam Cedar on the Majority Report, Air America Radio.
There's a reason, 5 years after 9/11, that America is not as safe as it needs to be. It's because Republicans play politics of national security but fail when it comes to the policy of national security. If President Bush and Republicans in Congress are serious about protecting the country, they'll stop frightening the nation and start doing something to make us safer. They'll change course in Iraq, implement the 9/11 Commission recommendations, and finally bring terrorists to justice. Of the 450 detainees as of day before yesterday at Guantanamo, now we have 14 more. Not a single detainee has been brought to justice. 464-0.
We are back. That is Harry Reid talking about George Bush's latest attempt to lie and disassemble, I guess, to the American public on his record on dealing with terrorists. And the latest outrage that George Bush is trying to pull, the latest attempt to politicize and to cover up, frankly, the failings of his administration in bringing these people to justice, comes from his offering of a new tribunal plan to deal with these people down in Guantanamo. Now, you'll remember the Hamdan case decided by the Supreme Court. Majority of those people on the Supreme Court appointed by Republicans, incidentally. The Hamdan case basically said to George Bush, your interpretation of what you're allowed to do as commander-in-chief is completely contrary to the Constitution. And your attempt to set up these kangaroo courts down in Guantanamo is completely contrary to the laws that have been passed by our Congress and by our Senate and signed into law by presidents from the past. It's also contrary to the Geneva Conventions. And so George Bush was tasked with bringing back a new tribunal plan. We reported a week or so ago that Charlie Savage looked into this from the Boston Globe and found that no military JAG attorneys were brought in the deliberations on how to form this thing, which is something that the administration claimed that they were going to do. And frankly, it sounds like there are many people in the Senate, including a couple of Republicans, who are not satisfied what George Bush is bringing to the table, but he is attempting now, by bringing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and 13 other inmates out of the gulag system to Guantanamo, he is attempting to force the Senate and the House to okay torture. We'll talk about this when we come back. 866-303-2270. We'll also update you on this ABC schlockumentary.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Question. Are you one of the millions of Americans just treading financial water? I'm not talking about people drowning in debt. I'm talking about people who pay their bills each month but just don't seem to get anywhere and are worried about their financial future. Is that you? Then listen. There's a special program from Financial Freedom International. It's called the 9 Steps to Wealth. It's a systematic program that accelerates paying off your debts and begins to build your personal wealth. And it does this on your current income and without paying any more than you do now on your monthly bills. I'd like you to call for your free CD that explains the 9 Steps to Wealth program. Thousands of people have already used this system. Call now and discover how to transform your uncertain financial future into one of wealth and prosperity automatically. Call for your free CD, 877-870-2641. 877-870-2641. 877-870-2641.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Meet Dr. Keith Ablo. He's a psychiatrist.
My patients tell me, you're not like any other shrink I've ever met.
He's a husband.
We all have conflicts in our marriages. I have conflicts in mine.
He's a father.
Becoming a better parent is not as hard as you think.
And starting this Monday, he's the host of his own television series.
We're not going to create perfect lives on this show, but there are real things you can do to make your life better.
Make an appointment. The Dr. Keith Ablo Show. New series premiere Monday. Check your local listings.
Yeah, hello.
If you really want freedom, don't cheapen the word by using it to describe potatoes. Yeah. Ohio Representative Bob Ney found time in what must be a hectic schedule to rename French fries Freedom Fries, leading the French to rename American cheese Bob Ney. New rule, if you are the president, you have to have stuff on your desk. You just do it. It makes us feel better. It's just... New rule, let Tony Blair do the talking. No, I say this sympathetically. Mr. President, you don't need to be doing the speechifying. You're like the Clint Eastwood character in a Western, the tough guy who doesn't say much. Tony Blair, he's the gay English character actor. Let him come in and lay the pipe. Plus, he's British. It just sounds smarter.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, get the Ashton Kutcher Demi Moore breakup over now. Let's just pretend we've already printed those issues of Us Weekly and people read them and thrown them away. And while we're at it, let's also pretend we've already heard Joe Lieberman drop out. New rule, in an all-volunteer army, there can be no such thing as a conscientious objector. Marine Stephen Funk says he shouldn't have to go to Iraq because he just joined the Marines to, quote, learn new things and meet new people. That's like joining the Beach Boys and announcing you're not going to play that stupid surf music. We need Saddam Hussein's head. Stop talking about his DNA. Nobody made a movie called Bring Me the DNA of Alfredo Garcia. Traumatized Iraqis need to see the head on a pole in the center of Baghdad, or as it's now called, the Galleria at Halliburton Square.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
It's being reported that Scholastic, the company that was sending out lesson plans for teachers based on the 9/11 schlockumentary, crockumentary, that ABC is playing at the beginning of next week, has decided to backtrack and that they're not going to be involved with it. They're going to pull the stuff down from their website. They realize now that the whole thing is a crock. And it's a bad form for an education company to be disseminating lies and mistruths about particularly such an amazingly important and frankly, under-investigated, in my opinion, event that has taken place in this country. Let's go to line three. Eric in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program, Eric.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Sam?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Hey, I was just thinking about earlier today, I hadn't heard anybody calling for a boycott, and then today I noticed on your website that they're calling for a boycott of ABC and Disney properties. But, you know, to take a play out of the radical rights playbook, you know, it seemed to always go after the advertisers when they want some kind of change in programming.
You're absolutely right, Eric. This is what I think, you know, we're going to be talking to Brent Budowski about this a little bit more. But what people should do is find your local ABC affiliate. Even if they're owned and operated by ABC, this will work. and watch it for a half an hour. Pick out a local ad, if it's a car dealer, whatever it is, and start calling those car dealers and say, do you want to be associated with this? You better call this affiliate and call the affiliate. But absolutely, call these people who are advertising on these local ABC affiliates and tell them if they're going to associate with these type of lies, then you're not going to associate with their product. It's certainly within your right. But you're right, Eric. We're going to talk more about it coming up in just a moment. Let's take one more call at 866-303-2270. Nick in Dallas, Texas. Welcome to the program, Nick.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. I think it's kind of hypocritical that you guys on the left are all jumping all over this ABC docudrama when you guys wholeheartedly embraced Fahrenheit 9/11.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's agree. Let's try and find some common ground here. Would you say that both Fahrenheit 9/11 and based upon what we know about this crocumentary, that these are both politically charged representations?
I would agree with that, yes.
Okay. Now, are you aware who was initially the studio behind Fahrenheit 9/11?
Wasn't it Disney?
Oh, that's very interesting. Yes, you're absolutely right, Nick. And are you aware what happened when that product was finished?
You guys, everybody on the left thought it was the gospel truth.
Now, before that, though.
Before that, you'd have to tell me about that.
Disney did everything. Not only did they refuse to release it, they did everything in their power to prevent it from being released. And in fact, if you go to CNN.com on the 5th of, I think it is May 2004, you will see that one Disney executive told a newspaper it did not want to be seen taking sides in an election, in the election, and risk alienating customers of different political views. It is not in the interest of any major corporation to be dragged into a highly charged partisan political battle. Why do you think ABC is doing this now? I mean, listen, it's one thing if you say, if you know, Rush Limbaugh says, this is my version of what happened on 9/11. But they are claiming that this is based on the 9/11 Commission report, and in fact, it diverges significantly from that report.
Well, wasn't Fahrenheit 9/11 distributed by Miramax, which is owned by Disney?
No, they didn't do. They disallowed Miramax from doing it. It was another consortium that ended up having to release it. But answer my question there. Now, if Rush Limbaugh was saying Rush Limbaugh presents my vision of what happened prior to 9/11, I would have less of a problem with it. But don't you think there's a problem if you're going to say this is based on the 9/11 Commission report and that is factually, observably, empirically, completely false?
Well, didn't they have somebody on the...
Why can't you answer my question, Nick?
I think that they're both crocumentaries.
All right, well, there you go. Then ABC certainly shouldn't cover it. See, we have been able to find a common ground. I appreciate Nick's sensibility. He has labeled it a crocumentary, does not feel that it should be put out by Disney and ABC, just like they did with Fahrenheit 9/11. One has to ask, why is ABC putting $40 million into this production but not having any ads? That's not a very good business model. All right, let's talk briefly about this new tribunal plan that George Bush has. The New York Times reports that under the measure that President Bush proposed on Wednesday, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other major terrorism suspects would face trials at Guantanamo Bay in military tribunals that would allow evidence obtained by coercive interrogation and hearsay and deny suspects and their lawyers the right to see classified evidence used against them. Now, here's what you have, folks. You have George Bush, who has tortured some of these prisoners, supposedly to get information from them. Now, the fact of the matter is that the torture that he has spoken of, let's first hear him refer to one of the people he tortured here. This is, I guess it's number 11.
As his questioning proceeded, it became clear that he had received training on how to resist interrogation. And so the CIA used an alternative set of procedures. These procedures were designed to be safe, to comply with our laws, our Constitution, and our treaty obligations. The Department of Justice reviewed the authorized methods extensively and determined them to be lawful.
Okay. So here you have George Bush talking about Abu Zubaydah. Now, Abu Zubaydah, who he supposedly said we tortured, oh, we use alternate methods. Excuse me. Alternate methods of getting information. Electroshock, who knows? Waterboarding, who knows what it was? He can't tell us. Because if he tells us that it was electroshock on the testicles, the terrorists will learn to harden their testicles and make them impervious to electroshock. Well, if you will recall, Ron Suskind reported in the 1% Doctrine that Abu Zubaydah, or Zubaydah, not only didn't give up this information under torture, but Zubaydah, I can't pronounce his name.
I think it's Zubaydah.
Zubaydah was mentally deranged prior to the torture. Suskind quotes Dan Coleman, the FBI agent who was the Bureau's first case agent on the Osama bin Laden in the 1990s and who had been working with the terror beat since the 1980s. Soon after his capture, Coleman described Zubaydah as, quote, insane, certifiable, a split personality. An opinion, according to Suskind, that was shared by the CIA's top brass and conveyed to the president and vice president. Despite this, Suskind reports that when the president learned that Zubaydah was mentally ill, he told the then CIA director George Tenet, quote, I said he was important. You're not going to let me lose face on this, are you? Tenet, ever the company man, replied, no, sir, Mr. President. We'll continue to torture this mentally ill person. Suskind explains in his diary that Zubaydah's diaries were written in the voices of three people, Hani 1, Hani 2, and Hani 3. Hani 1 was a boy, 10 years younger than the actual person. Hani 2 was the same age as Zubaydah, and Hani 3 was a decade older. What was being observed, Suskind writes about the diaries, by three pairs of eyes, meanwhile, was often less than compelling. What people ate or wore or trifling things they said in page after page. Zubaydah was a logistics man. There was almost nothing operational in his portfolio. That was handled by the management team. He wasn't one of them. Despite this, every bit of information extracted from Zubaydah through torture sent teams of FBI agents and local law enforcement officials scrambling across the country trying to put out fires that didn't really exist. In the end, Zubaydah may have been useful, but the upshot of the Zubaydah story, as Suskind describes it, is that the United States would torture a mentally disturbed man and then leap screaming at every word he uttered. And this is what George Bush is basing his right to torture people on. Now, what he's attempting to do with this new tribunal plan is to basically present the same tribunal plan that the Supreme Court has already rejected. As the New York Times report, the proposed tribunals would largely hew to those that the Supreme Court rejected in June. The measure says Congress would, by approving the proposed tribunals, affirm that they are constitutional and comply with international law, which the Supreme Court said they did not. Now, the fact that George Bush is bringing back the same tribunals to the Congress aside, Congress does not have the authority to say what is and what is not constitutional. Senate Republicans who have been working on their own bill said they were wary of the provisions on hearsay and classified evidence and questioned whether the administration had resolved the problems that the court raised. I don't think we can afford to, again, to cut legal corners that will result in federal court rejection of our work, said Senator Lindsey Graham. So the situation you have here that George Bush is trying to set up again for political purposes is to say to the U.S. Congress, make torture legal. Attempt to controvert the Constitution by denying the rights of accused the opportunity to see any evidence against them, which incidentally, Lindsey Graham, a former JAG lawyer, says is easily done in military courts all the time. You can handle that classified information. And he's saying, you will legislate that torture is legal, or I'm going to try and blame it on you when we fail to bring a case against this guy because any evidence we may have obtained might be tainted. Now, the Democrats have to stand up to this, and they have to reject this bill. Because it should not be the Constitution's burden to bear if the Bush administration cannot prosecute these people because of their incompetence and their ineptness. A line in the sand has to be drawn. Just how much of our American values are we willing to sacrifice to this cabal that leads this country now? I mean, this is the kind of stuff you see. This is the Empire Strikes Back type of crap. Where some type of legislative leverage to actually throw our American values down the tubes. Now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Brett Budowski. And he's going to talk to us about fighting this ABC propaganda program. Because this is all part of the game. If you think this is a coincidence, you're crazy. If you think this is a coincidence, George Bush is having these four speeches just before 9/11, you're crazy. This is what they do at elections. They exploit Americans' tragedy, and they try and increase the fear. We'll be right back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report.
It's Sam Cedar on the Majority Report, launching an illegal invasion and occupation of your brain.
It's the Morning Retort with...
You from terrorists. Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit cachecreek.com for more details.
We'll be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet. We're tomorrow.
time toward the truth winner, Sam Cedar.
On the phone, Brent Ludowski is a former legislative aide to Senator Lloyd Benson, current member of the International Advisory Council on Intelligence Summit, also contributing editor to the Fighting Dems News Service and serves on the international... I said that already. Welcome to the program, Brent.
Good evening there.
Now, Brent, you had a post on Huffington Post today calling for a boycott of Disney and ABC. Just tell us what you think this might accomplish and what we can do with it.
Well, I think that the American people are tired of the partisanship, the negativity, and the abuse of 9/11 from too many sources, beginning with the president. And this show is just an outrage. And you're seeing a firestorm today all over the country. It's not just Democrats, by the way. It's people that believe that 9/11 should be handled with integrity and honor and truth. What I'm advocating right now, and have been all day, and my phone's been ringing off the hook, is if Disney and ABC do not change the show and make it conform to the truth and stop the falsehoods, then what we ought to do is we ought to boycott ABC, boycott Disney for 2 weeks, all out, everything they own, the networks, the affiliates, and the properties, and make a statement that we, the people of the United States, think 9/11 ought to be treated as almost holy and sacred and not abused anymore the way it's been.
Now, I mean, the interesting thing, you know, I think one of the weak points in their whole infrastructure is to call up an advertiser on a local affiliate and just say, do you want to be associated with this type of trash? You do it politely, but, you know, 30 or 40 calls to a car dealer who's advertising on the local ABC affiliate in some town or city is going to have an impact. And we've also got Marcus Melitzis has links up on his blog to George Mitchell, who apparently sits on the board of Disney.
Yeah, I was amazed that anyone would have anything to do with this, George Mitchell or Bob Iger or anybody else. And, you know, what I'd say as well is to call Disney, call their, if you own stock in a 401k plan or anywhere else, call the investor relations department. Otherwise, call, you know, the customer relations department and say, you do this dishonestly and wrongly, and we're not going to watch your show. That's going to make your stock go down. It's going to make your advertisers unhappy. You know, they spent $40 million to exploit 9/11 in a commercial enterprise at the front end. And at the back end, they want to send this out to the children of America to educate them about a momentous event in our history.
Now, my understanding is that Scholastic has now backed out as of about an hour or so ago.
Well, not only that, but the first excuse Disney was making, which was truly amazing as well, this wasn't true anyway, even though they're using real names. Now they're saying nobody's seen the final product and that it's going through a re-editing. And I think they are starting to back off. I think we're going to win. Truth is going to win. But I think we got to keep the pressure on until we know exactly what they're going to put on the air.
Now, Brent, what do you make of this? Okay, they're spending $40 million. They have no advertisers. They send out 900 screeners almost exclusively to right-wing radio talk show hosts, to right-wing bloggers, to right-wing journalists. What's going on here?
It is beyond me. I suspect it's partly to curry favor with the incumbent administration, and it's partly just cheap, sleazy, low-grade television. But it is truly unbelievable, and I've never seen anything like it. There is historical inaccuracy after historical inaccuracy in this, and I just think that they were sloppy. And I think deep down they wanted to curry some favor with the incumbent administration.
Now, why would they do that? I mean, this is all about, I mean, to me, it's all about tax breaks and it's about concentration of the media.
No, because, I agree. And it's about a general political trend. You know, we're in a one-party state that I believe is about to end in Washington. And I think the mainstream media and the cable guys have been buffaloed or intimidated and bullied. And I think it's about to end. And I think one of the things we can accomplish if we can take this thing down, or at least make it honest, is to send a statement that's going to be heard everywhere that this kind of thing has to end.
Yeah, people have to get involved. I mean, it's not just, you know, and I'm not even sure if this is sloppy, because when you see the malice aforethought here, to keep it from any type of critics before it gets out there and send it only to right-wing bloggers and right-wing pundits, and then this notion, apparently James Bamford, author and journalist, who writes on intelligence agencies, was on MSNBC today, and he is saying that there was an FBI agent who was involved in 9/11 who was brought on as an advisor. He quit because of the inaccuracies. They must have known.
Oh, yeah, and I'll add one other name. You know, on the positive side, Richard Benveniste from the 9/11 Commission condemned this thing and said correctly that it doesn't represent them. On the negative side, Governor Tom Kaine has a son running for the United States Senate as a Republican in New Jersey in a neck-and-neck race, and frankly, he ought to either denounce this thing publicly or be ashamed he has anything to do with it.
You know, that is the thing, is that this is so much about a political expediency. It really is repulsive. And the thing that people have to remember, these are the public airwaves. This isn't a movie you go pay to see. This is the public airwaves. And for them to disseminate this type of propaganda is incredibly, it's scary, frankly.
Oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, one other point that really needs to be made.
We only got 20 seconds, Brent.
We have had 9/11 abused by the president, who's the one who let bin Laden get away at Tora Bora, which Churchill and Roosevelt would never have done with Hitler. Let's make 9/11 above this kind of thing and a source of unity and no more exploitation of it by Bush or ABC or anyone else.
Thank you very much, Brent Budowski. Let's do this, folks. We'll be right back.
The Majority Report.
KCTC.
Sacramento.
Sacramento's left channel. Because you deserve the truth.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's more than 5 years old, but wasn't seen until today. Al Jazeera broadcast an Al-Qaeda videotape that shows Osama bin Laden at a training camp in Afghanistan, apparently meeting with leaders of the 9/11 plot. A separate audio tape features a message from the man believed to be the new leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, predicting victory over the United States and its allies. Release of the tapes coincides almost to the day with the fifth anniversary of the terrorist attacks. The tape came out after President Bush spoke in Georgia about changes since 9/11.
Delivering his fourth speech on terrorism in a week, President Bush said America learned the lessons of the 9/11 attack and, as a result, is safer today.
Over the past 5 years, we have waged an unprecedented campaign against terror at home and abroad. And that campaign has succeeded in protecting the homeland.
But the war on terrorism is far from won. In fact, Mr. Bush said it depends on the outcome of the war in Iraq, in which he said the free world must prevail. Mark Knoller, CBS News, Smyrna, Georgia.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair has paid a heavy political price for his support of the war in Iraq. Today, facing a revolt in his Labour Party, Blair reluctantly announced plans to step down within a year.
I'm not going to set a precise date now. I don't think that's right.
I will do that at a future date, and I'll do it in the interest of the country, and depending on the circumstances of the time.
Blair's critics call him President Bush's poodle. They'll try again tomorrow to launch Space Shuttle Atlantis.
After Wednesday's scrub, NASA's senior managers decided to stand down for a day to troubleshoot a problematic fuel cell, but now they're ready to go. Program manager Wayne Hale says the decision wasn't unanimous, but it's not a rush to fly either.
We have taken a very slow, methodical, thorough, and safety-oriented approach in this whole matter, far and above what would have been done, say, by folks in the old days.
NASA is anxious to restart space station construction with 4 years to finish the job and retire the space shuttle. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
Launch time is set for 11:41 a.m. Eastern. A panel of experts for the Food and Drug Administration has rejected the agency's own report concluding that the mercury-based dental fillings in millions of American mouths are safe. The panel says the report isn't objective.
This panel is saying to FDA, you have missed the boat. You're acting against all the other mercury. Why are you playing special interest politics with the dentist?
Charlie Brown of Consumers for Dental Choice, a group that campaigns against the so-called silver fillings. On Wall Street, a bad day. The Dow Industrials down nearly 75 points to 11,331. The Nasdaq lost 12 points and closed at 21.55. The price of oil declined to $67.32 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Diane Mintz is a realtor. She helps people buy and sell real estate. But those aren't the only people Diane helps.
Every year I send inner-city children to camp.
She knows that something that the kids may learn from camp may change their life completely.
The Realtor Code of Ethics is about treating people fairly and honestly. I make a promise to conduct business fairly, and I've also made a promise to these kids.
Across the country, realtors like Diane Mintz are making a difference in their communities and setting examples for others to do the same. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
The owner of a Connecticut polling company that did work for President Bush, Senator Joe Lieberman, and other candidates has pleaded guilty to defrauding her clients by falsifying poll results. Tracy Costin has agreed to repay nearly $83,000. U.S. Attorney Kevin O'Connor says Costin told employees to talk to cats and dogs if they had to get enough responses.
If they were supposed to sample 200 people and couldn't get 200 interviews done, they would just make up the results to whatever interviews they needed to get to the 200 number.
The company's manager is negotiating a plea deal. $555,000 is a lot of paperclips. James Dorman, a former vice president at Staples, is charged with embezzling that much from the office supply company, but not in paperclips, in the form of phony invoices that produced payments from Staples for Dorman and three friends. He also allegedly used his company Amex card to pay for gifts and travel for those friends. Dorman's lawyer says he'll plead not guilty. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Majority Report, Air America Radio, streaming at airamericaradio.com, blogging at the Nobel-nominated blog, majorityreportradio.com. My name is Sam Cedar, moving to 9 to 12 in a week, 2 weeks. Jerry Springer will still be available through Air America Radio. He'll be syndicated and I think also streamed. So you know, he will not be going anywhere, and you know, I was I never want, you don't like the idea of of taking somebody's job. But, you know, I'm not taking his job. Jerry Springer still has the Jerry Springer Show. And I think he's, financially, I think he's going to be fine. I understand. He's doing okay. You know, we had Jerry as one of our early guests on the Majority Report. He's got some good politics. More information will follow in that regard. Our number is 866-303-2270. Let's hear what this guy James Bamford had to say about this crocumentary that ABC is pushing. This is number 7.
You know, one of the problems, however, is that it's made up. This is fiction. This is not real. One of my friends actually was a consultant to this production, an FBI agent who worked in 9/11. He quit halfway through because he thought they were making things up.
Now, and this is interesting. Let's play this clip of the former Secretary of Defense, Frank Gaffney, from the Reagan administration. He's also one of these neocons who's been heavily involved in pushing the Iraq War. He also appeared in Fahrenheit, not Fahrenheit, Fahrenheit 9/11, which, of course, was narrated by the...
Please don't hurt me.
My good friend Ron Silver... He's also a columnist for the Washington Times. Here he is on MSNBC. Listen carefully to what he says about this. He's going to say something to the effect of, like, this tells a story. I don't know if it's factual or not, but if it is factual, then it's a very damning story. It's unbelievable.
Well, I gather that the documentary elaborates on this in a pretty compelling way, that the call was being made from the ground where they thought they had bin Laden surrounded directly into Sandy Berger, then the president's national security advisor, at which point Berger just apparently refused to give them the go-ahead and hung up on them. I don't know the facts here, but to the extent that there's basis for this kind of reporting, I think it suggests a risk-averse attitude that was characteristic of the Clinton administration, that was justified by a desire not to give offense, not to cause difficulties in foreign relations of this country.
All right, so here you have, this is what their strategy is, okay? Here he says, he tells the scene, Sandy Berger hung up on Massoud and the CIA agents who were right outside the house of Osama bin Laden. Now, I don't know the facts here. But to the extent that it might be true, I think this shows a definite pattern of the Clinton administration being risk-averse and not wanting to take him out. Now, this is what their plan is. They know that most of you know this is a lie. But if they get it out there, then these sops out there, these conservatives who only want to hear what they want to hear, then it becomes the facts, and 3 years later, you'll see it on the nightly news. Everybody remembers when Sandy Berger hung up the phone. Well, okay, that's not the truth. Let's go to Greg Mitchell, editor of Editors and Publisher on MSNBC, number 5.
Let's do a little bit of truth squatting, if we can. Since you've seen the movie, a few of the scenes. One has, as you mentioned, former National Security Advisor Sandy Berger refusing to give the CIA a go-ahead to take out Osama bin Laden. From your understanding, is this entirely accurate?
No, actually, it's entirely made up, which is one of the problems. The other thing, which actually just came out today, was that the screenwriter admitted on talk radio and on the West Coast that this scene, while it was in the script, was partly improvised in the making of the movie. It ends quite dramatically with Sandy Berger slamming down the phone and cutting off all communication on making this decision to go after Osama. And it's great cinema, but not only did it not happen, the screenwriter says it wasn't even in the script, and it was improvised on the spot. He sort of liked the way it looked, and it was, you know, it went over well in the when it was being filmed, so they left it in. And it seems like an appalling thing to admit for a film on such a serious subject, really on the most serious, most sensitive subject and mass murder. And to treat the facts that cavalierly seems to me is the reason that ABC is under such pressure now to do a heavy editing job on the film.
And the issue isn't even that Sandy Berger hung up the phone, folks. What the 9/11 Commission report says happened that day was that there was no Northern Alliance people on the ground, no CIA on the ground. There was a single source, that had contacted CIA, had told them that Osama bin Laden was somewhere, and the request never even made it to White House officials in the Clinton administration. Sandy Berger never even heard about it. It was George Tenet said, we have decided not to take this action. Sandy Berger said, okay. Because Bill Clinton had given the orders to George Tenet, you may kill or you may capture Osama bin Laden whenever you feel you have the opportunity. You do not need our sign-off on this. You do not need our okay. If you feel you have the opportunity to do it, you do it. And George Tenet did not feel he had the opportunity. And then somehow it comes into this complete fiction that everybody had him surrounded. They called up, said, should we take him, Sandy Berger? Sandy Berger said, no, and hung up the phone. And this they're calling a documentary? Joe in New York, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, Joe. You're well. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I'd just like to first say that I've been a loyal listener since you started back in March of, I think it was 2004.
That's great. Well, it's actually, it was the 31st of March.
Oh. Well, I think you guys are totally missing the major point. Much of what you guys talk about is information that needs to be disseminated amongst people. I live up here in Dutchess County, New York. They have no clue of what you're talking about.
1020. 1020 on your AM dial.
Hello?
Joe, are you there? You tune people into 1020 on the AM dial.
No, no, there is no 1020 on our AM dial up here. That's another.
Yes, there is.
No,
there is. Listen, I live in Columbia County, and I get it up there. It comes out of Poughkeepsie. But go ahead, Joe.
No, I live in Dutchess County. I'm an elected official here. The people have no clue what's going on. The important thing is that I commute from Tarrytown to Southern Dutchess County every day. I used to get your program along the way. I can't get it.
Joe, 1020. This is a great call, Joe, but 1020. Thank you for the call. The guy's calling in for... No, you're not on 1020. Listen, I know I'm on 1020. I listen to 1020. Unbelievable. But I appreciate the faithful listenership and continue to listen to us from 9 to 12 in the morning. Let's go to line 2. Bob, trucker in Nebraska. Welcome to the program, Bob.
Hey, how you doing? I'd just like to make a point that my fellow Christians that think torture is okay and a reliable source of information, that they're absolutely wrong. And they should know that anybody with strong religious convictions... They should know that they're not going to submit to torture. Just as in Ruby Ridge and Waco, Texas, these people had strong religious conviction.
We're losing you, Bob. Well, your point's well taken, but it doesn't take strong religious convictions. Lieutenant General John Kimmins in Ceylon, the Army Deputy Chief of Staff for Intelligence, said yesterday, no good intelligence is going to come from abusive practices. I think history tells us that. I think the empirical evidence of the past 5 years, hard years, tells us that. He argued that any piece of intelligence which is obtained under duress through the use of abusive techniques would be of questionable credibility. And Kimmins conceded that bad PR about abuse could work against the United States in the war on terror. It would do more harm than good when it inevitably became known that abusive practices were used. We can't afford to go there. So, I mean, it's not just whether or not you are religious. Torture simply doesn't work. But George Bush is trying to make a political issue out of this, and he's trying to force the Senate to basically try and ratify torture. And he's doing it for political gain. And, I'll tell you, the Democrats better stand up to that. The Democrats better stand up to that. Now, George Bush also went on to go talk about who has actually been detained at Guantanamo and elsewhere. This is according to Andrew Sullivan, the conservative blogger at Time Magazine. Bush said this. It's important for Americans and others across the world to understand the kind of people held at Guantanamo. See, these aren't common criminals. where bystanders accidentally swept up on the battlefield. We have in place a rigorous process to ensure those held at Guantanamo Bay belong in Guantanamo. Now, we know this is a load of crap. We've talked about this in the past. As Andrew Sullivan writes, in slightly less crude way, this has been exhaustively documented. This is false. Dozens of Guantanamo detainees have been released with no charges brought against them, just as the U.S. concedes that up to 90% of those jailed at Abu Ghraib were innocent. The National Journal examined court documents relating to 132 enemy combatants at Guantanamo, or about a quarter of the detainees there. Here's the money quote. National Journal undertook a detailed review of the unclassified files to develop profiles of the 132 men. National Journal separately reviewed transcripts for 314 prisoners who pleaded their cases between the combatant status review tribunals at Guantanamo. Taken together, the information provides a picture of who exactly has been taken prisoner in the war on terror and who has been held in an anomalous U.S. military prison on an island belonging to one of America's bitterest enemies. The first thing that jumps out of the statistics is that a majority of the detainees in both groups are not Afghans, nor were they picked up in Afghanistan as U.S. troops fought the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, nor were they picked up by American troops at all. Most are from Arab countries. Most were arrested in Pakistan by Pakistani authorities. 75 of the 132 men, or more than half the group, are not accused of taking part in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners. Just 57 of the 132 men are accused of being on a battlefield in post-9/11 Afghanistan. The government's documents tie in only 8 of the 132 men directly to plans for terrorist attacks outside of Afghanistan. Most of these people, 90% of them, apparently haven't done anything. It's just that they got shipped down to Guantanamo and we don't know where to send them now. National Journal continues, much of the evidence against the detainees is weak. One prisoner at Guantanamo, for example, has made accusations against more than 60 of his fellow inmates. The veracity of this prisoner's accusations is in doubt after a Syrian prisoner, Mohammed Al-Tumani, 19, who was arrested in Pakistan, flatly denied to his combatant status review tribunal that he attended the jihadist training camp that the tribunal record said he did. Tsunami didn't have a lawyer, because they don't give him lawyers, but his representative looked at the classified evidence against the Syrian youth and found that just one man, the aforementioned accuser, had placed Tsunami at the terrorist training camp and had placed Tsunami there 3 months before the teenager had even entered Afghanistan. So there's some lunatic down there, which is the basis of their classified information. Probably the same guy they've been torturing. Crazy guy. It's a joke, folks. You're being hoodwinked. Take more calls, 866-303-2270. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio. The left just got a little bit louder.
You're listening to AM 13.
1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. The creators of the local alternative cable access programs Media Edge and Sacramento Soapbox present a series of progressive films and documentaries at Sacramento's Crest Theater. Leading off the series will be The Ground Truth on Tuesday, September 19th at 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. This film stunned audiences at the 2006 Sundance and Nantucket Film Festivals. This powerful documentary features exclusive footage of patriotic young Americans who heeded the call for military service in Iraq. Then on Tuesday, October 10th, director Robert Greenwald's new film, Iraq for Sale, will be screened at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Iraq for Sale uncovers the connections between private corporations making a killing in Iraq and the decision makers who allow them to do so. Greenwald's previous films include Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, and Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism. Admission for each film is $10. More information is at 916-803-3909 or go to wethemedia.tv.
Now, some bad news for those who suffer from glaucoma, AIDS, bone marrow cancer. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, on the case for you folks, they came out with a report today, said there are no medical benefits at all from marijuana. Their quote was, "We need to ensure that all food and all drugs undergo the rigorous scientific scrutiny of the FDA approval process." You mean like with Vioxx, Celebrex, Ambien, Children's Zoloft, Crestor, Coke, Pepsi, nicotine, Big Macs, and the curly fries at Carl's Jr.? Hey, forget medical marijuana. I want what they're smoking. I tell you, this report, with its lies and its half-truths, made me so physically sick that I had to treat it with an alternative herbal therapy.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Back to Sam Cedar on the Majority Report, Air America Radio.
The president and the vice president and others have often attacked freedom of speech and freedom of dissent and freedom of the press. Now Mr. Bush has signaled that his unparalleled and unprincipled attack on reporting has a new and venomous side angle. The attempt to link by the simple expediency of one word, media, the honest, patriotic, indeed vital questions and questioning from American reporters with the evil of Al-Qaeda propaganda. Moreover, Mr. Bush, you are accomplishing in part what Osama bin Laden and others seek, a fearful American populace, easily manipulated and willing to throw away any measure of restraint, any loyalty to our own ideals and freedoms, for the comforting illusion of safety.
That was Keith Olbermann on Countdown. Was that last night or the night before? Hey, let's do a little compare and contrast, shall we? Here is Bill Clinton. Do we have this clip? This is Bill Clinton at a White House news conference in July 1996 after he was able to get through his terrorism package, although it was watered down by Republicans who didn't want to track explosives, who didn't want to allow expanded warranted wiretapping, who didn't want to expend as much money as Bill Clinton did on terrorism back in 96.
We need to keep this country together right now. We need to focus on this terrorism issue. The people are together. They're united on it. And we need to quickly identify the areas we can agree on, move as quickly as possible, have a vote if there's an area of significant disagreement, accept the result, and then look forward to the future. There'll be other opportunities to pass laws.
Apparently, it didn't come up. Why? Let's go to George Bush, who in March 13th of 2002, 6 months after 9/11, what was his perspective on Osama bin Laden?
So I don't know where he is. I just don't spend that much time on him. I'll be honest with you.
I got to spend more time on Iraq. I spend my time thinking about Saddam Hussein. Unbelievable. All right, that was a quick one. When we get back, we will be talking to David Korn, author of Hubris. Co-author, I should say, with Michael Isikoff. He's going to talk to us about Valerie Plame and other things that came up in the inside story of spin scandal and the selling of the Iraq War. Sam Cedar, Majority Report.
Majority Report on Air America Radio.
It's the Randy Rhoads Show.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Good afternoon, Lisa West. For traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Traffic's looking nice and thick. I guess we can say nice and thick. I-5 at J Street. We do have a couple of cars there that have gotten into an accident, but no injuries, though. And on through to Elk Grove Boulevard on I-5, slow traffic. 50 by Watt Avenue. There is a three-car crash there slowing traffic down as well. And I've got a call. Stop and go is how it looks like it is. Going towards Roseville, I-80, just past Madison Avenue, we do have a three-car crash. 69 for the low, highs 98 coming up. And you can log into 1320leftchannel.com and get extended. I'm Lisa West for AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotten tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, skip the truck. President Bush is down on the ranch, and we all know what that means. Lots of pictures of him in that pickup truck, as if he's going into town to pick up a bale of hay. Okay, we get it. You're a rancher. You're clearing brush. You're a Washington outsider. You're a huge country fan. Unfortunately, that country is Saudi Arabia. New rule. When somebody dies, we shouldn't cut off their head and drill holes into it. Ted Williams belongs in the hall, not the fridge. Cryogenics is one of those technologies that just doesn't work, like the missile defense shield and hair transplants. New rule. It's just a donut. What is up with the Krispy Kreme phenomenon? It's a glob of deep fried dough, not Super Bowl tickets. Aren't we Americans fat enough without pretending that donuts are hip?
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. You don't get to do a farewell tour unless you absolutely, positively swear you'll go away. This goes for Cher, Michael Jordan, and if the Eagles reform one more time, I'm going to stab them with my steely knives until I just can kill the beast. New rule, stop leaving messages on my answering machine saying it's me. I already have a me in my life, me. And frankly, if we were that close, I'd have given you the number to the phone that I answer. All right, ready? New rule number one. Enough with gaysploitation TV. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Hey, if I want a bunch of gay men in queenie outfits telling me how to live my life, I'll go back to Mass.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Sam Cedar on the Majority Report, Air America Radio.
On the phone, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the program, David. Oh, he's not here yet. Well, in a moment, it will be a pleasure to welcome to the program David Korn, the Washington editor of The Nation, a Fox News Channel contributor. Wow, I didn't know that. And author of the best-selling book, The Lies of George W. Bush. You can check out his blog at davidkorn.com, and also the co-author of Hubris, the inside story of spin, scandal, and the selling of the Iraq War. Welcome to the program, David.
Good to be with you. And that, of course, is the big news, that last book that you just mentioned, which is just out today.
Oh, it's just out today. Well, there's a lot of stories. There's been a lot of talk about it, and we're enjoying the book here. We're all sort of arguing over who gets to read. We're literally passing it around.
Well,
which is
you
really
guys
the best
probably,
way to write a book.
You guys probably
book.
Can spring for a few more copies. Ever hear of Amazon.com?
Yes, I know. I've definitely heard of Amazon.com. When my book was out, I was checking it constantly to see where my ranking
was. We just went up to number 19.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, well, so this is a book. This is a hot book, and we have the author on the day the book comes out.
Yeah, that shows the power that you have, the media clout.
Wow, I'm impressed. All right. Well, thank you, David. Our friend Henrik Hertzberg said that the selling of Bush's Iraq debacle is one of the most important and appalling stories of the last half century. Michael Isikoff and David Korn have reported the hell out of it. Now tell us, what does Hubris cover?
Well, it really is an inside, behind-the-scenes narrative of what happened in the CIA, the State Department, the White House, and in Congress in terms of the selling of the war. And then it goes even beyond the invasion to show how the White House desperately had to protect its sales campaign when it was proven to have been built on false premises. So the book opens with a scene, May 2002, which this is nearly a year before the invasion of Iraq, and Bush is meeting with Ari Fleischer, his press secretary at the time, and another press aide, and he says, "Hey, Ari, what happened in the press room today?" And Ari Fleischer starts complaining about an exchange he had with Helen Thomas, who dared to question what seemed to be the administration's apparent march to war with Iraq. And so he was describing this exchange that he had with Helen Thomas, and Bush all of a sudden turned real steely, and he started, you know, cursing and saying, "Well, you tell her I don't like mother freckin', although he said the real word, people who, who gas their people. I don't like mother effers who do this, you do this, and you tell her I'm going to kick his mother effing butt, although he used another word for that too, all over the Mideast. So, you know, it's that type of stuff that gives you a taste that there was a real visceral hatred of Saddam Hussein that was driving Bush, and that he had already decided in May 2002, long before he even went to Congress for permission, that he was going to go to war against Iraq. And it was before he had any intelligence on WMDs. But then we follow. We look at the aluminum tubes. We look at the yellow cake, the Niger charge. We look at the connection between al-Qaeda and Iraq that they charge. I mean, just this past few days, Bush has been out there trying to confuse the public into thinking the war in Iraq has something to do with the war on terrorism, and he's talking about these al-Qaeda commanders who are now going to be sent to Guantanamo, or have been sent, and how they had these great interrogation sessions with them, even though now they admit they have to change the rules. Well, our book talks about one of those guys. He's not one of the 14 who was named. He was first al-Qaeda commander who was caught, who the FBI interrogated him, you know, quite efficiently, and he didn't say anything about al-Qaeda being helped by Iraq. Then the CIA takes him, ferries him away to Egypt, where he seems to have undergone the most abusive questioning around. Some people in the FBI were told that he was subjected to a mock burial, where they bury you alive and you think you're going to die. And while he was there, he starts saying, well, you know, Saddam Hussein was giving weapons training to al-Qaeda and chemical weapons. And that was, if you remember, what Colin Powell said at the UN speech being 2 months before the war, a month before the war. That was his evidence that there was a sinister nexus between al-Qaeda and Iraq.
Now let me ask you this, David.
But it turned out that the guy even ended up recanting because it was based on a bad interrogation. So we get into all this, as bad as you might have thought it was, it was worse, and we have all these inside stories along these lines.
Now, what Colin Powell was also referring to was this training camp was where Zarqawi was, which was actually in Kurdish Iraq.
Oh yeah, he went on about Zarqawi, which was, if you go back and look at it, it's very convoluted. But it was in northern Iraq, where indeed it was beyond the control of Saddam Hussein's government. I remember writing at the time that Colin Powell has convinced me. Let's bomb the Zarqawi camp. I mean, that was like, you know, if he's a bad guy, you know, it's in a no-fly zone. Let's take it out. It had nothing to do with the Baghdad regime, and it was the use of this bad piece of intelligence, which actually the president had used too in his Cincinnati speech, that allowed them to argue that there was this tight nexus between al-Qaeda and Iraq. And then we take, you know, the book, you know, it was written in sort of narrative fashion. It's not a polemical work. And then, you know, we take it beyond the invasion, and, you know, we have the scene like when Bush is first told by David Kaye that there are no weapons of mass destruction.
Now, I should just tell people, David Kaye is a former CIA head who was sent to Iraq with the Weapons of Mass Destruction Group, I think it was called.
It was called the Iraq Survey Group. His job to look for the weapons of mass destruction.
Now, we kept hearing in the months before he gave his report, I think it was in September of 2003, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it was December 2003, that David Kaye, and Judith Miller was a big proponent, David Kaye has found the stuff. Wait till you hear what David Kaye has to say. And they were trying to build this up for months. And so David Kaye goes and tells Bush, how does Bush react?
Well, this is, you know, we have this, you know, we have a lot of good stories from the post-invasion period when Kaye goes in and everybody's in the Oval Office. Cheney, Liddy, Rice, I think Wolfowitz was there too. And he says, you know, sir, you know, so far we haven't found weapons of mass destruction. I don't think we're going to find them. I think we may find that he had a surge production capacity, meaning that when he wanted to, he could build them, even though that turned out to be untrue. That was David Kaye being a little optimistic. But we don't have, you know, what you said we had. And it's a quote in the book. Kaye says that he's never seen anyone at that level of government be so inquisitive. Bush asked no questions. He kind of shrugged his shoulders, and Kaye expected Rumsfeld, Cheney, and Wolfowitz and others all to jump in and say, "How could this be? What are you looking here? Are you looking that?" They all kind of looked at each other, and there was like this empty silence in the Oval Office, and the meeting was over.
Wow.
I mean, that's the and
you know. So wait, no, no. Now let me ask you this, okay? You got George Bush, who responding to Helen Thomas's questioning of the motivations to go to Iraq. He doesn't bring up we're threatened. We're you know, I have a responsibility to the American public. He's just like, I hate that guy and I'm going to kick his butt.
Yeah.
And when David Kay comes in there and says, we looked and we didn't find anything, they all look at each other and like, hmm. What do you draw from this? Because obviously, you know, you're talking about a narrative. It reads like a novel to some extent, except for it's true. But what do you glean from this? I mean, is it your sense, whether or not it's in the book, but from the exhaustive research you've done, is it your sense that this was a pre-existing agenda and that the agenda really had nothing to do with what the American people were sold?
Yes and no. Let me give you the yes part first, and let me take the occasion to talk about another scoop we had. And again, since I'm promoting a book, I'll say the name of it is Hubris, the Inside Story of Spin, Scandal, and the Selling the Iraq War. And I co-wrote this with Michael Isikoff of Newsweek, so it's not my book, it's our book. But we had a story that came out in The Nation this week based on the book that revealed what Valerie Wilson did at the CIA. She was chief of operations for the Joint Task Force on Iraq, which was part of the super secret operations director, directorate. Robert Novak and others have tried to say she was just an analyst. That's bunk. She ran operations, and her operations, these are espionage operations I'm talking about, classified work. They were geared to find out entirely whether or not Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. That was her job. For 2 years, she tried to find evidence to back up what would be Bush's justification for the war. So it's highly ironic that at the end of the day, Karl Rove and Scooter Libby are running around trying to out her, while Dick Armitage is also doing it as well. But I bring that up because, you know, the group that she worked on was originally a very modest Iraq branch of the Counterproliferation Division. Before 9/11, in the summer of 01, before 9/11, the word came down from the top of the CIA, we're ramping up on Iraq, and they changed this modest, small, just a couple people, Iraq branch of the Counterproliferation Division into a much bigger joint task force on Iraq. So even before 9/11 hit, the CIA, being responsive to the White House, was beefing up it's anti-Iraq program. And we know, I'm sure you've talked about this ad nauseum in your show, that neoconservative, policy wonks for years have been talking about getting rid of Saddam Hussein.
Well, in the Project for New American Century, they laid it all out, that Saddam Hussein...
It's not a conspiracy. They said this in public. It's on their website.
Yeah.
The way I've always thought of it is that after 9/11, if you go back to high school math, you remember that we studied vectors. And there were several vectors going on. There was the neocon Project for New American Century vector of wanting to get rid of Saddam Hussein and insert American forces in the region, for a long time. There was Donald Rumsfeld, who we know had this desire to have a USF geostrategic clout in the Middle East, and maybe he cared about the oil supply, maybe he didn't. There was that vector. And then there was Bush's vector, which, I talk about the visceral hatred he had of Bush, but also I think he had of Saddam Hussein. But I also thought, I think that after 9/11, Al-Qaeda is out there. It's a terrible enemy. Al-Qaeda is hard to hit. 60 different countries it's based in. It's more an idea, a franchise, Burger King or whatever, than it is a fixed force. And I think Bush felt this real proactive need to show that he was in charge and that he could do something, to protect America, and he looked around for someone whose butt he could kick. And, Saddam Hussein, because of the history with his father and because of other reasons, and because he was a bad guy and easy to demonize, he was a very convenient target for Bush, to fulfill his urge to show that he was, the true sheriff in town.
So your sense is it's the Donald Rumsfeld looking for the easy target theory. But what do you make of Richard Clark's reporting that the day after 9/11, he says, get me information about Iraq. So I mean, this guy had a pre-existing agenda.
No, he certainly did. And the interesting thing is that right after that, right after 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld and Paul Wolfowitz are basically saying, should we attack Iraq?
Right.
And Bush, and they talk about it that weekend at Camp David, and Bush listens, and he has this encounter with Richard Clark, and in our book we have even more details on that particular encounter. We have an eyewitness who saw it, who gives us, you know, he says that Bush was even more adamant about this. But when push came to shove, you had Wolford saying, forget Afghanistan, let's go after Iraq. It will be easier. And Bush says to him, you know, maybe because he's more of a linear A, B, C, D type of guy, says, no, we're going to do Afghanistan first. And then as soon as it's, you know, Afghanistan is, you know, the Taliban are routed, not that bin Laden's captured, but as soon as they're routed in November, then Bush starts thinking about Iraq. So, I mean, you had guys like Wolfowitz who for years really thought that Saddam Hussein was behind every act of terrorism. And one whole chapter of our book is about a woman whose name you may have heard, you might have heard of, but not many, I think, listeners have, and that's an academic named Lori Milroy.
Yes, all right. Well, all right, let's talk about Milroy when we come back. I also want to get back on to the Valerie Plame thing because I want to ask your opinion if you believe that her outing was a twofer for the Bush administration. Were they afraid that she might also have information from her Iraqi work group that showed there were no weapons of mass destruction there? We'll be right back. We're talking to David Corn, author of the new book, Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin, Scandal, and the Selling of Iraq War, which, of course, he co-authored with Newsweek's Michael Isikoff. We'll be right back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report.
Majority Report, filibustering every weeknight on Air America Radio.
Annoy a conservative.
In movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Annoying.
got massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all of these things and going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If you're on personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions of folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Now back to four-time Tour de Truth winner, Sam Cedar.
On the phone, David Korn, co-author of Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin, Scandal, and the Selling of the Iraq War, which is making waves everywhere for among other things. Of all the revelations, one of the biggest, I think, is that Valerie Plame was actually involved not just in fighting the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, but specifically investigating if Iraq had obtained weapons of mass destruction and was tasked prior to 9/11 to dig into this. So now tell me something, David. What do you make of the fact that she was ultimately outed by the Bush administration? Is there any chance that Karl Rove and Scooter Libby and Armitage, for that matter, didn't know that she was a covert operative when she was the head of this group looking for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq?
Well, that's an interesting question. In the memo that Armitage was working off of when he talked to Novak did not note her position, just said that she worked on WMD issues, didn't even note that it was Iraq. But so he may or may not have known. More interestingly, according to Patrick Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor, on June 12th, which is long before the Novak leak, almost a month before the Novak leak, Cheney told Libby, the vice president told Libby, that she worked in the counterproliferation division. Now, anybody who knows the CIA, as I assume these two people know, since they were over there often enough to find out what was happening in Iraq, would realize that the counterproliferation division is part of the operations directorate, where most people are classified, undercover, and doing the super secret work. They're not analysts. So it seems to me that Libby and Cheney had good reason to, if not know, then to really assume or presume that she was indeed doing sensitive operations. But it seems that they didn't really bother to think that through or check before they got involved in this political campaign, a negative political campaign, to discredit Joe Wilson and use whatever ammo they could find.
But, I mean, it even stretches the imagination, David, to assume that her name would have never come up. If you're talking about, she's working on this for 2 years, looking for these weapons of mass destruction. We know that Cheney was unhappy with what was coming out of the CIA. Presumably, a lot of that was coming out of her group that she managed.
Yeah, but be fair. You know, the CIA is a big place. There are thousands of mid-level officers, such as she was. So while they would, you know, while they knew what intelligence was or wasn't coming, but the thing is, what she was reporting, and we get into this in the book Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin, Scandal, and the Selling Iraq War, what her division was reporting, they were sending in reports saying, the few sources they managed to develop were saying that they knew nothing about an Iraq weapons of mass destruction program. Now, Cheney and others were not interested in reports like that. They were looking for the reports that said that he had something. So, I mean, those type of reports didn't get too far in the bureaucracy. They weren't briefed to Cheney. He didn't ask for follow-up on that. That's part of the problem here. Part of the problem is that they were cherry picking all along, so they could well have not known what she was gathering because it didn't support their agenda.
Uh-huh.
But in any event, I go back to this fact that that when they start looking for information on Joe Wilson, they find out about his wife, they find out she works in the Director of Operations, and they take no steps to determine whether talking about her to reporters, which Libby did. And Karov did as well, would have any negative consequences. So at the very least, to give them benefits of the doubt, it is recklessness.
Right.
So they may have known what they were doing, but they may not have. But in any event, to them it was a political campaign. It was a negative political campaign. Whatever information we could have, throw it, Wilson. I mean, we have quotes in the book that haven't come out about just how crazed Libby and Rove were in terms of getting Joe Wilson.
I'll tell you, I bet you Patrick Fitzgerald's reading it right now. The book is Hubris, The Inside Story of Spin, Scandal, and the Selling of the Iraq War, written by Michael Isikoff and David Korn. David, thank you so much for joining us. Again, that book is Hubris by David Korn. Thanks again for joining us, David. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. As America remembers 9/11, Al-Qaeda makes its presence felt.
They were losing ground to other jihadist leaders and movements because they were silent for so long. So I think this is an attempt on their part to try to become relevant again.
Terrorism expert Neil Livingstone on a video released today showing Osama bin Laden more than 5 years ago meeting with some of the 9/11 conspirators in an Afghan training camp. There's also a separate audio tape. This purportedly is the voice of Abu Hamza al-Muhajir, the new leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq. He calls on all holy warriors to unite on the battlefield in Iraq and defeat the United States.
The terrorists know that the outcome in the war on terror will depend on the outcome in Iraq. the free world must succeed in Iraq.
President Bush spoke in Smyrna, Georgia today before the tapes came out. Referring to the 9/11 anniversary on Monday, he said America is safer now than it was 5 years ago. Christine Todd Whitman, who led the Environmental Protection Agency at the time of the terrorist attacks, tells CBS News correspondent Katie Couric in an interview for Sunday's 60 Minutes that her agency warned New York City that workers at Ground Zero should wear respirators.
This is a first.
We did everything we could to protect people from that environment. And we did it in the best way that we could, which was to communicate with those people who had the responsibility for enforcing what we were saying should be done.
Whitman says the EPA had no power of its own to force the use of respirators. Recent studies find that a large percentage of the rescue and recovery workers now have chronic health problems. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports on new medical research to learn what causes cancer.
This is a first, a chart of specific genetic mutations that can lead to one of two common cancers, breast or colon. About 200 of these changes have been charted, most of them not previously recognized. Why is this work so important?
Knowing what these genetic changes or mutations are will allow us to get insights into the cancer and develop therapies and diagnostics that are specific to the cancer.
Dr. Kenneth Kinsler, one of the Johns Hopkins researchers behind this effort, it's part of a huge $100 million project to map the genetic roots of cancer. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Congress didn't get many answers today at a hearing on problems at BP's Alaska oil field. Richard Woolham, the executive who used to be in charge of managing pipeline corrosion, pleaded the fifth.
Mr. Chairman, based upon the advice of counsel, I respectfully will not answer questions based upon my right under the Fifth Amendment of the United States, the Constitution.
Woolham has been accused of intimidating whistleblowers to keep quiet about problems at the pipes. BP says the field could be back in operation by the end of October. On Wall Street today, the Dow down 74 points to 11,331. The Nasdaq lost 12 points. This is CBS News.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the right way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's Spam, Spyware, and IM Firewalls.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Network's customers. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only two locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
By an overwhelming vote, the House has voted to ban the slaughter of horses for meat. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The bill is aimed at shutting down three plants in Texas and Illinois that slaughter tens of thousands of horses each year, shipping the meat to Europe and Asia, where some people consider it a delicacy. Horse lovers, including Virginia Democrat Jim Moran, say no one should be eating American horses.
A horse galloping gracefully across the plains, that's not a commodity. That's a source of inspiration.
But opponents, including the Agriculture Department, argue if this becomes law, horses would suffer more because they'd be shipped to Mexico or Canada and slaughtered for food there under less humane conditions. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
So far, no action on this in the Senate. Do as I say, not as I do. The National Survey on Drug Use and Health finds illicit drug use by teenagers declined in 2005 for the third consecutive year, while the use of illicit drugs by baby boomers was up for the third year in a row. I'm Bill Whitney.
It's one of the hardest parts of my job is to connect Iraq to the war on terror.
As George Bush accidentally telling the truth to Katie Couric. You know, I got a lot of things on the plate. I got to lie to the American public. It's one of the hardest jobs I have, is conflating two things that actually work against each other. Did I just say that? Oh, God. I need that machine that pumps information into my head with the talking machine on my back. Let's go to line 8, Douglas, Sacramento, California. Welcome to the program, 866-303-2270.
Oh, hi, thank you. Yeah, I was wondering, when all the Valerie Plame business first came out, they were talking about her and Brewster Jennings in connection with Iran.
Yeah, that's right. Well, apparently, according to Hubris, she did both.
Uh-huh.
But started, at least back in the summer 2001, working specifically on a group that was specifically looking for it in Iraq.
So they got a twofer with her because she and Brewster Jennings had to go before they could demonize Iran as this nuclear threat.
Well, certainly, it certainly looks that way to me. I mean, you know, if you don't want to have any intelligence out there that conflicts with your policy agenda, it probably behooves you to destroy any intelligence networks that might come up with that type of intelligence that doesn't fit into your agenda.
And you have to have... I mean, you can't claim you have nothing to do but bomb if you have an effective covert program in place, you know, working against proliferation in Iran, too.
Well, look, listen, any bombing of Iran, and I don't think it's going to happen before the election. Apparently, even like Rick Santorum begged the president, please don't ask us for an authorization to bomb Iran because, man, I'm so desperate in my election that I actually have to trump out my four-year-old kids in a campaign commercial for me. But, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen now. But you're right. I mean, you know, and they're, listen, they're not interested in stopping Iran from getting nuclear weapons. They think that by bombing Iran, because they know they can't bomb and successfully take out their nuclear capacity, they feel they can only bomb and basically destroy the infrastructure, which they think is then going to hypnotize the Iranian people to blame their leaders. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable, these guys. Do we have that Santorum commercial? Let's play. This is really offensive. Apparently Santorum's got like five kids. Young kids.
My dad's
and wait, no, don't play yet. And not when I say four or five kids, I'm not talking about apparently his wife had a miscarriage, and they brought the fetus. This is not a joke. They brought the fetus home in a shoebox, made all the kids say hello to it, and then buried it in the backyard like it was a hamster. So I don't know what his agenda is with his children, but you know, I'm starting to think social services may step in here. So he gets his five kids. They're cute little kids. I don't know, one is like, looks like four or something like that, and then six, and then probably eight, and then one, ten, I don't know. And there's this big controversy because Rick Santorum hasn't spent any time in Pennsylvania. The house that he was supposedly live in doesn't have curtains, doesn't have furniture, and apparently the grass is about a foot tall. People were getting a little pissed about it in the neighborhood because, you know, that type of stuff brings down the values of the property. And he got all offended that somehow the news media found out about it. Well, now I guess he's getting his kids together and says, you know, I mean, I really wonder, like, what you got to sit down and say to your kids. Because this ad, it's these quick cuts and, like, you know, one of the girls is on, like, pretending like she's on the cell phone. And she takes the cell phone down, and she looks up into the camera and says, my dad's one of the greatest dads. Well, you'll hear it in a second. But it's all to fight this notion that he's a great dad. That's why he doesn't spend any time in Pennsylvania. Now, that aside, exploiting your children this way and putting them in the middle of this campaign, I think is counterintuitive for a great dad. Now, for instance, I have a beautiful one-year-old daughter. Maybe she's a little bitchy, but, I mean, she's very attractive. Now, I don't think I would take her out and exploit her for my radio career. Watch my daddy. Listen to my daddy on radio. Please give him the morning slot and don't fire him. Actually, I did. I would bring her into Air America and just sort of parade her around, but wouldn't feed her for half a day. Make her look hungry. All right, well, let's play this Rick Santorum ad.
My dad's opponents have criticized him for moving us to Washington so we can be with him more.
And they criticized us for attending a Pennsylvania public school over the internet. And he votes in Washington, almost 40.
All right, hold on, stop for one second.
And when he's
okay,
not voting.
No, no, the criticism, apparently, was not that they were doing this internet school, but apparently it's like a $100,000 program. And if they're living in Washington, then why are you using taxpayer-funded programs in Pennsylvania? I mean, look, you're either going to take the kids up there or you're not. You're either going to suck off of Pennsylvania or you're not. I mean, that's the problem. They took, I think, I don't know, is it just taxpayer money? Or they actually get some type of stipend to homeschool them up there? You know what? I'll ask Atreos, who's coming up next, because he knows all about Crazy Rick Santorum. But all right, let's keep playing this.
My dad's opponents have criticized him for moving us to Washington so we can be with him more.
And they criticized us for attending a Pennsylvania public school over the internet.
And he votes in Washington almost 40 weeks some years. And when he's not voting,
that's probably all across Pennsylvania. 67 counties. That's a lot.
Our dad works hard for the people of Pennsylvania, but one thing he's made very clear to us,
being our dad is the most important job he'll ever have.
I'm Rick Santorum, your senator, and I approve this message.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
I just... All right, kids, Daddy's being attacked. Daddy's being attacked by evil people. Now we're just going to sit here and you're going to pretend like you're writing. Don't make me dig up your brother or sister who was a miscarriage. Make you say that again. You say that Daddy's a good daddy.
Mom! 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 Why did you do that to me?
Wow. Unbelievable. And this is George Bush. Well, September 5th, this denying terrorist enclaves. This is September 5th a long time ago, right? Mark, the sound, number 8. Let's play this.
Are determined to deny terrorist networks control of any nation or territory within a nation. So along with our coalition and the Iraqi government, we'll stop the terrorists from taking control of Iraq and establishing a new safe haven from which to attack America and the free world. And we're working with friends and allies to deny the terrorists the enclaves they seek to establish in ungoverned areas across the world. By helping governments reclaim full sovereign control over their territory, we make ourselves more secure.
Okay, this is President Bush. That was September 5th of this year, actually. That's actually only 2 days ago. I'm a little bit confused. I'll tell you why in a moment. Because he says, and we're working with friends and allies to deny the terrorists the enclaves they seek to establish in ungoverned areas across the world. Donald Rumsfeld does on just 6 days before that, August 29th, 06.
Some seem not to have learned history's lessons. Can we truly afford to believe that somehow, some way, vicious extremists can be appeased? Can folks really continue to think that free countries can negotiate a separate peace with terrorists?
Hmm. Donald Rumsfeld, 829. Do we have that ABC clip? You know, I will read it. This is the ABC reporting just Ross the other day. Osama bin Laden, America's most wanted man, will not face capture in Pakistan if he agrees to live a peaceful life. Pakistani officials tell ABC News the surprising announcement came as Pakistani army officials announced they were pulling their troops out of the northern Waziristan region as part of a peace deal with the Taliban. If he's in Pakistan, bin Laden would not be taken into custody, Major General Shukut Sultan Khan told ABC News in a telephone interview, as long as one is being like a peaceful citizen. How do we reconcile this, folks? Pakistan has now made a truce. And hat tip to Cunning Realist, incidentally, for pulling these quotes. How do we reconcile this notion of Pakistan making this deal with the Taliban, basically saying, all right, Osama bin Laden, you got a free pass. Taliban, not only will we basically vacate the area, here's your weapons back. Now head to Afghanistan. Cross the border and wreak havoc there. Why can you do this? Because the Americans had gone bye-bye. We come back, Atreus, from the blog Eschaton.
Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. He puts the truth inside your radio.
Stop Mad Cowboy.
Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts match card features in the main event Mike Whitehead from Spike's Ultimate Fighter 2 against Zane Frazier from UFC 1 and 9. Plus special guest appearances by 3-time UFC champion Dan the Beast Severn and MMA legend Boss Rutten. Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, September 15th, visit CacheCreek.com for more details.
Hi, I'm Scott Forrington, morning co-host on AM 1320's Morning Retort. More young people are becoming infected with AIDS than ever before. But now, you can be part of the solution. Help raise awareness and save lives by joining me and show up for the Sacramento Valley AIDS Run and Walk. Sunday, September 17th at the west steps of the state capitol. Registration begins at 7:30 and proceeds benefit HIV/AIDS nonprofit agencies in the region. You can make a difference. To find out more, go to 1320leftchannel.com.
Freedom cannot be forced into existence, nor can it be won through painful struggle.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
Freedom cannot be bought or sold. It has nothing to do with one's social status. One's profession is of no consequence.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
In order for you to accept yourself as you are and live with your soul at peace, you must simply teach yourself to let it be. Only then will you discover freedom.
And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
dug on inside the... a new story. I mean, deep, deep inside. Patrios blows your mind. Exclusively on the Majority Report.
We are back on the phone. Atreus from the blog Eschaton. Welcome back to the program, Atreus.
Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Now, I want to get to this Disney crocumentary.
What to do about the mouse, yeah.
Yes, but before we get there, now, what was the story with Rick Santorum? His kids were getting, we're being homeschooled. Now, was the program, well, they weren't getting like some type of, what did they get in return? But they didn't get like $100,000. It was just $100,000 worth of tax paid.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically they participated in a cyber charter school which operated out of Pennsylvania, which, you know, it's a fairly wealthy district out there. They pay for nice schools, including charter schools apparently. So if you're a resident of Pennsylvania, the district will pay for your many children, and he has many, to attend this cyber charter school, which is basically an internet online school. But the problem was that...
Oh, so this school doesn't... I mean, they actually have to pay. This is not produced by Pennsylvania.
No, it's a charter school, so it's not quite a public school, but it's paid for by public money, so, you know, one of these sort of hybrid things that charter schools are. And so the public schools, you know, students who attend public schools can choose to go to these charter schools in various places, but and the district, instead of sending the money to your local public school, will send the money to the charter school instead. But that all is sort of... requires that you actually have residency in the state, and the problem is that Santorum doesn't really live in Pennsylvania anymore.
Yeah, but my daddy told me to tell the camera that he does that because he loves me.
And look, I'll be honest about this, because I am an honest guy. I mean, I think making these residency issues for senators an issue is problematic, because let's face it, Santorum has a family. I don't really care that he's moved his family to Virginia. I actually think that's probably the right thing for senators to do, that they're in Washington for 6 years before they have to get reelected. The alternative is leaving their families behind, which is not a nice thing. But the thing is about Santorum is he's a big hypocrite, because his first election that he won when he went to Congress, his basically the centerpiece of his campaign was the fact that his opponent had moved to Washington and didn't really live in Pennsylvania anymore. So that's the real issue with the school story.
Wait a second. You're not trying to tell me that Rick Santorum is a hypocritical liar.
Oh, yeah. That's basically what I am telling you.
I am shocked, but I'll get over it.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about this whole ABC thing. I mean, we've been talking about it through that, but I'm just astonished that ABC is doing this, quite frankly. Give us an update.
Well, before we get to the update, let's sort of back up. I think it's important to understand how we got here. And the reason why this is even an issue at all is because in January of 2001, Richard Clark and other people in the Clinton administration told the Bushies, you got to do something about terrorism, and they scoffed. Cheney said he put together a terrorism task force. It never met. Bush received the presidential daily briefing on August 6th of 2001, which said bin Laden determined to strike in U.S. And according to Ron Susskind, he told the briefer, now you've covered your ass, and did nothing. Then we get to September 11th, and Bush reads My Pet Goat. So they've got a problem. Okay, the problem is they really messed up badly, and they did nothing. They focused none of their attention on terrorism. They're trying to think about how to go to war with Iraq. They believe, you know, only in state-sponsored terrorism, not this sort of rootless terrorism. And then 9/11 happens, and they say, well, we know we messed this up. What can we do? I know. We'll blame Clinton. That's always worked before, and the media loves that one. So they started inventing all these sort of right-wing myths about all the places Clinton went wrong. Now, you know, I'm sure Clinton didn't do everything perfectly in his presidency with respect to 9/11 or with respect to terrorism or anything else. But nonetheless, they started inventing all these little...
Well, that said, I mean, yeah, I'm certainly no huge fan of Clinton's, but he did prevent the Millennium attack. He prevented an attack in the Pacific on a maritime thing. And in 96, he strengthened terrorist laws. I mean, yes, of course, he probably was not infallible, but he seemed to have done basically everything that could have been done at that point.
Yeah, he seemed to. And the weird thing is that the major thing that he did do, which got a lot of media attention, was when he actually shot missiles at Bin Laden and didn't get him. But at the time, the media freaked out and said that he was just wagging the dog. He was trying to distract the country from Monica Lewinsky, when now we know he was trying to kill a potential mass murderer. So,
and in fact, we're going to take a break here, but in fact, what we now know is that the Republican jihad against him, this witch hunt, where the crime that they were trying to impeach him for was actually committed in the investigation of a crime that never happened, that distracted, I think, a lot of people, at least from this threat. I mean, we got the sound of Clinton trying to force through this terrorism bill and the Republicans watering it down. We're going to take a break. We'll pick this up when we get back. We're talking to Atreos from the blog Eschaton.
Majority Report on Air America Radio.
A liberal dose of the truth.
Way 57, somewhere between Frog Level and Smyrna. It's 1982, and on one side of the road is a gas station run by four happy-go-lucky guys who provide service with a smile. Opposite, the Cup Sisters own the diner where fun is always on the menu.
The entire performance is filled with humor and song and transports the audience to a simpler, more relaxed time.
Each AM 1320 listener that mentions this ad gets $5 off their ticket. Pump Boys and Dinettes plays Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 2 through October 8th. Call the box office at 446-2668 or go to thestudiotheater.net.
We need your support.
New rule. No more whining about the French. At least they're standing up to the Bush administration, which is more than I can say for the Democrats. And by the way, it doesn't make me un-American to say I'd rather live in Paris than in places where cheese only comes in individually wrapped slices. New rule. Secretary Ridge, we know you're running this huge Orwellian organization. There's no need to rub our face in it. New rule. No gay fraternities. Apparently there are now dozens of them. Why bother? If you're gay, you already have a much better way of bonding with another man than the chug-a-lug. A dirty show this week.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. The Asia's crowded. Let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Don't wanna hurt no kangaroo. We'll build an all-American amusement park there. They got surfing too. The whole world round would just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it'll be. We set everybody free. You wear a Japanese kimono, baby, be Italian shoes to me. They all hate us anyhow. So let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.
We are on the phone with Duncan Black, a.k.a. Atrios, from the blog Eschaton at atrios.blogspot.com. We are actually providing some historical context to the run-up of what happened in 9/11 and the Clinton administration's work in dealing with terrorism. Atrios, as you said, the Bush administration came in with this idea of state-sponsored terrorism as opposed to freelance terrorists like Al-Qaeda. We know that Sandy Berger at the Pass the Baton conference, I think it was on January 21st of 2001, gave his speech and said the number one threat we're passing on is terrorists like Al-Qaeda. 2 hours later, Condi Rice gives a speech where she says the number one threat we're inheriting is Saddam Hussein in Iraq. And so we know these guys weren't tuned into this.
Right. I mean, the basic sort of revisionist history that the conservative movement has had to create post 9/11 and the media has enabled them to do this is that basically the first World Trade Center attack happened in 1993, a month after Clinton went into office. That was his fault, of course. I'm not sure why. And then the big problem was that Clinton did nothing. And to buy that argument, you have to buy that all these Republicans and conservatives were busy worrying about that kind of terrorism. But they weren't. They were worried about China up until about 1998 or so, and then they realized that that wasn't going to fly anymore. You know, they tried to create China as the big enemy. And then they switched back to Iraq, and then they switched to Saddam Hussein and made Saddam Hussein the leader of a basically secular country at the time into the great menace. And so they had to create this entire alternative mythology in which 9/11 was Bill Clinton's fault to sort of distract the nation and the media, who are easily distracted, I must say, from the fact that they engaged in 2001 in what your colleague Al Franken calls Operation Ignore. In other words, they were presented with a warning and they did nothing.
The
amount of nothing that they did is astonishing. Is an astonishing amount of nothing.
To be fair, after he read that PDB, we know that George Bush went out and fished in his bass pond, his stocked bass pond.
That's true. He was busy rooting out basses of mass destruction.
Exactly. So that leads us. So these are the myths that are built up and that are held in to the bosom of conservatives and right wingers out there because it's their last vestige of hope in some ways.
Deeply implanted in their reptile brains.
And then the next thing they remember about 9/11 apparently is Sandy Berger putting copies of an after-action memo on the stopping of the Millennium Plot in his sock. Because he wanted to be reminded of it.
Right. Right, yeah, which is not really actually what happened. But anyway, Sandy Berger got in trouble. He handled documents improperly, but the sock thing seems to have been made up, actually. But in any case, so that brings us to this movie, which is what the issue is, this Disney/ABC movie. And it's basically the Republican mythology, which is based on just nonsense, put on TV over two nights. They're falsely claiming that, or they've backed away now, but originally they're essentially saying that this was based entirely on the 9/11 Commission report, which is not true because many things in the movie directly contradict the 9/11 Commission report. And I think a lot of commentators, especially people who are defending this, are kind of missing a lot of the issues. It's true that docudramas, of course, dramatize events. It's true that they compress time. It's true they have composite events. They have composite characters. Things aren't perfectly historically accurate. There aren't perfect transcripts of every event that happened, etc. So we understand that things in a drama get dramatized. That makes sense. But what you shouldn't do is have sort of key events in your documentary which are completely at odds with the facts, especially when those specific events are an attempt to prop up this fake mythology about the Clinton administration, which conservatives have been pushing for so long. So, I mean, this is a piece of baseless propaganda, and that's the problem.
And when you know, and what's really disingenuous is when ABC says, well, part of it is based on the 9/11 Commission report. Well, I mean, that's like saying part of it's also based on the Bible. There are people in the Bible. There are people in this movie. I mean, you know, if you're going to take, Frank Gaffney, the neocon, was on MSNBC, and he's a columnist for the Mooney-owned Washington Times. And he gets out there and he says, look, he tells the story that we now know is in the movie, that Sandy Berger hung up the phone on a CIA agent who was outside of a house where Bin Laden was, there with, the Northern Alliance, because he said, you know, we're not going after this guy. And so Gaffney retells this part of it and says, now, I don't know the facts. But this clearly indicates, if it is true, what I think is the essence of the Clinton administration's passivity in dealing with Osama bin Laden. You know, so you have this situation here where they're saying, well, we're using fake facts to express the fake notion that is also unsupportable that Clinton didn't do anything.
Right. I mean, if there are real facts out there, and maybe there are, why don't you use the real facts? That would be nice. You use the real facts to try to tell this story if they exist, but they don't. As far as I know, those real facts don't exist.
The real facts, according to the 9/11 Commission, anyways, is that George Tenet decided, because he had unilateral authority to make this decision, because he had already been given authority by Bill Clinton to take out Osama bin Laden whenever he had the opportunity, kill him or capture him. Tenet, on his own, decided we're not going to do this. He simply informed Sandy Berger of it.
Right.
And nobody was on the ground.
Right. I mean, that's the basic thing. There's this. I mean, one of the ideas floated by the right is that there are multiple times when, you know, we had basically CIA assassin with the gun to bin Laden's head, essentially, and in progress of about to pull the trigger, and the Clinton administration called it off. I mean, that's the story they're trying to tell, and it's just not true. They never had that opportunity. And the funny thing is, the closest opportunity they had was when Clinton launched the missile strikes against bin Laden and didn't get him, and they also blame him for that. They actually say, well, that wasn't serious because that was just a distraction from Monica Lewinsky. So here's, you know, absolute proof that Clinton was certainly willing to try to take out bin Laden using, you know, pretty extraordinary means, launching a bunch of missiles, and yet that is also proof that he wasn't actually trying to take out bin Laden. It was just a distraction for the country over Monica Lewinsky. I mean, it's truly bizarre. I mean, you have to sort of buy things that are false, buy things that are contradictory, buy things which make no sense, and believe that George Bush is essentially the second coming of Jesus Christ in order to make sense of the mythology that they're trying to perpetuate. And that's fine. They can perpetuate this mythology on their blogs. They can perpetuate it on Fox News, where the crazy conservatives live. But it's a problem when they are trying to perpetuate this mythology on ABC, and they're trying to do it by pretending it has the blessing of the 9/11 Commission, because the head of the 9/11 Commission, Tom Kane,
is a paid consultant,
and he's blessed it. Tom Kane has proven himself to be a shill. I don't think he ever really deserved his reputation of a distinguished elder statesman, but he's certainly proven that he doesn't deserve it now, because he said he basically had veto power over anything. You know, anything he thought was false, it was his job to tell them it was false. And there's all of these things which are completely false.
It's conceivable he never even read the report.
To
give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe he's not a shill. Maybe he's just horribly incompetent, never read the report that he supposedly chaired, and that's why he didn't find any problems with the movie.
Well, maybe you never even watched the movie. Who knows? We don't even know what he did, but that's it.
We do know this. We do know he cashed the check.
We do. Well, there's some question about whether he was paid or not. Now, the New York Post has reported that he was paid. Other outlets have said he was unpaid. Now, I actually don't know the truth of that. I certainly believe he was paid, but you know, if your only source is the New York Post, maybe we should find verification for that. So, I don't know. But one way or the other, he's not behaved in a distinguished manner as he's befits his reputation. So, we've even had conservative Republicans, even Brent Bozell, who's the head of former head of the Media Research Center, a conservative media critic who generally doesn't concern himself too much with the facts. Even he on Scarborough Country was saying that they should fix the spots in the show which don't have any factual basis. So, you know, ABC's got a problem, and I'm a bit worried that they're going to go ahead and broadcast this thing, even though it's basically nonsense.
All right, so let's pick it up from there. Now, Scholastic was originally involved in this, and they were going to hand out some type of fact sheet. Now, supposedly they backed off, but I got to say, you know, I read their statement, and they're basically just saying, we're not going to include a study guide, but we're going to tell people, or we're going to change our study guide to say, like, hey, this is a great time to examine the validity of docudramas. That seems a little dubious to me.
Well, I think it is a little dubious. I think we have to acknowledge probably what happened here is that ABC gave Scholastic a very large check to do something, and Scholastic is probably not wanting to return that check. So they have to do something, and I'm not defending them. I'm just saying that I think you're right, that it remains to be seen what kind of materials they release for this movie, because the fact remains that this movie is going to be distributed to classrooms, and unless it's distributed along with materials which basically debunk the movie, and thus it becomes a...
But then what's the point of it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, honestly, it's like, what is the point of it? If you're going to send this movie out as some type of study guide, and then really the lesson now is, this is how you can be manipulated by the media? I don't think that message is going to get across.
Well, I think it would be a great lesson if done well, but I'm not optimistic that it will be done.
Yes, I would agree with that as well. I'll tell you what, I'd be willing to do it. I'd be willing to cut him some slack for doing this if I'm in charge of who's teaching this stuff.
Yeah.
Because, frankly, that's a little bit of depth, I think, that you're going to get in most places. Now, so let's talk about ABC. Why do you think they're doing this?
Well, I think probably the simplest explanation is that there's a long time understanding that if you're going to do anything that sort of involves contemporary events, contemporary politics, if you don't make the wingnuts happy, you're going to get in trouble. I mean, they saw what happened with the Reagan movie a couple of years ago, where the wingnuts went crazy over a couple of minor things that they thought put late Reagan in less than flattering light. CBS caved to them. They moved that to Showtime. The wingnuts have been a powerful force attacking the entertainment industry, attacking the news media for a very long time. They're used to that. And so when they sit down and say, okay, we're going to do a big 9/11 project, if we do it wrong, if we say something mean about George Bush, the wingnuts are going to go crazy. So why don't we just make the wingnuts happy? We'll have our 9/11 project, and that'll be great. But what they didn't count on is the fact that finally, there are actually a few of us out there now who are paying attention to this stuff and who might actually give them a little bit of criticism from the left, not because it fails to be liberal, but because it's actually factually
a lie.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, but they also went beyond that. I mean, they went and they sent screeners out almost exclusively to right-wing pundits and whatnot.
Well, exactly. I mean, and I think they did that for two reasons. One is the obvious one, where that was their target audience, the right-wing conservatives, but also because they know that the right seems to believe they own 9/11. So if you read conservative commentators when the recent 9/11 movies came out, whether it was Oliver Stone's or the United 93 movie, they talk about it as if they should have, conservatives should have veto power over these movies, that conservatives are essentially the gatekeepers of the memory of 9/11 and nothing else is allowed. And so my guess is that they knew that if they didn't essentially placate these people up front, right away, in advance, that they were going to catch a lot of hell,
even as slanted as it is.
Yeah, even as slanted as it is. They basically had to sort of, reach out to them, pat them on the head and say, no, we're one of you now. This is a movie for you. You guys are going to love this. So please be nice to our movie. And so that's what they did. And so they reached out. I mean, the one person I saw, which I just couldn't believe, I don't know if he saw it at a film festival or got a screener, but if he got a screener, I would just be absolutely gobsmacked, was this guy from the Chalcedon Foundation. I don't know if you know Chalcedon, but
no.
Chalcedon is, this is like the foundation of the, he's dead now, this guy Rushdoony, who was like a genuine theocrat. I mean, I know we have sort of a lot of theocrat lights running around, like Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell, but Rushdoony, he was the real deal. These are real theocrats. These are real Christian nation people. These are real Handmaid's Tale kind of territory. So on his blog, he was writing about this movie.
These guys go to film festivals?
Well, there was one right-wing film festival where this was screened, this sort of Libertas or something like that. I forget what it was called. So it's possible he wasn't targeted directly. I couldn't tell. But this is a real nut. I mean, this isn't part of the sort of the mainstream conservative blogosphere or conservative commentators like Rush Limbaugh. These are pretty nutty people, even by the rather broad standards we have for nutty people these days.
Let me just ask you one more follow-up on this, on ABC's motivations here, because, I can understand it. I think it's sweeps weeks now, and they're not spending any money. I mean, they're spending $40 million on this. They're not getting any advertising revenue. There was a story on the Wall Street Journal Wire. I think it was back like July 1st or something like that. And it was talking about how Disney lobbyists were very nervous because the ABC News had reported that Denny Hastert was being investigated by the Justice Department.
Mm-hmm.
And the gist of the story was they were looking for $180 million worth of tax cuts for their industry.
Mm-hmm.
And they were afraid this was going to jeopardize it. To what extent do you think that the motivation behind one of the factors in telling this mythological story and protecting the Bush administration and, frankly, protecting the Republican Party and its lack of oversight on what really happened on 9/11, to what extent do you think this is a way of them saying, like, look, here's the calculation. The Democrats could be in power, but maybe it's the Republicans. If the Republicans are in power, we want to kiss their butt so that we get our tax breaks and we get our media deregulation. And if the Democrats get into power, they generally don't lash out at us like the Republicans do.
Well, I think it wouldn't surprise me if there's an element of that looking, doing things to get favoritism from Capitol Hill, whether it's Republicans or Democrats. I wouldn't be surprised if that played into the calculation somewhat. Obviously, this movie was long in the planning, so we can't necessarily pin it into any sort of specific date or piece of legislation. I think there's something to it, though. I think there's something to Hollywood trying to send a message to Republicans that, hey, we're not really against you. We're all about the Benjamins just like you guys are. It's all about the money. And so we're going to prove to you that we can do stuff that you like. And when we come and ask for our next copyright extension, or we come and...
Yeah, Disney's actually, that's very big for Disney, isn't it? A lot of their copyrights on their Mickey Mouses are running out, and they got to keep getting those extensions.
Well, they're extended for another bunch of years because of the last round of copyright extensions. But more than that, there's also legislation not just about copyright extension, but about rebroadcasting. It's a bit technical, but it wouldn't just copyright the underlying work. But even after copyright has expired, if you wouldn't be allowed to take a videotape and rebroadcast it, even if the copyright was expired, because the person who originally created the videotape would have sort of perpetual control over it. So, there's a lot of things they want.
All right, look, we got to take a break, but will you come back? Because I want to make sure that we tell our listeners what exactly they can do over the next 24, 48, 72 hours and beyond to either talk ABC out of this or to make them feel some pain about it. We'll be right back on the Majority Report.
Tired of just reading blogs? Now you can hear them. Liberal Oasis Mondays, Daily Kos Tuesdays, Atrios Thursdays. Only on Air America Radio. It's Blogtastic.
A liberal dose of the truth.
Listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
So hot today in New York City, that naked guy on the subway was screaming, "Who's crazy now?"
Hot.
Yeah. Hot down in Washington, D.C., Dick Cheney replaced his pacemaker with an ice maker.
Wow.
Is that hot? It's so hot, Christie Brinkley is now dating Ben and Jerry.
Whoa.
It's so hot today, ladies and gentlemen, George W. Bush told Al Roker to stop doing that. That's what he said. That's what President Bush said at the G8 summit. He was overheard using a dirty language at the G8 summit. And not only that, later he was ejected for headbutting.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. 1320 Left Channel Action Calendar. The creators of the local alternative cable access programs Media Edge and Sacramento Soapbox present a series of progressive films and documentaries at Sacramento's Crest Theater. Leading off the series will be The Ground Truth on Tuesday, September 19th at 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. This film stunned audiences at the 2006 Sundance and Nantucket Film Festivals. This powerful documentary features exclusive footage of patriotic young Americans who heeded the call for military service in Iraq. Then on Tuesday, October 10th, director Robert Greenwald's new film, Iraq for Sale, will be screened at 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Iraq for Sale uncovers the connections between private corporations making a killing in Iraq and the decision makers who allow them to do so. Greenwald's previous films include Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, and Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism. Admission for each film is $10. More information is at 916-803-3909 or go to wethemedia.tv.
Now back to four-time Tour de Truth winner, Sam Cedar.
All right, my clock management tonight has been not too great. We only got a minute left. So, Atrios, give us a sense of where people can do, what they can do to affect some change on this ABC thing.
Well, the most important thing tomorrow is to get in touch with Disney Chairman George Mitchell, who is he's chairman of the board of Disney, and he is a former Democratic senator from Maine. And if you go to thinkprogress.org, they have all the information there. He's a nice guy. Be nice to him. But the important thing is to let him know that it's really damning to this country if the American people get a false sense of recent history, because if they get a false sense of recent history, they will make the wrong decisions about where we are going forward. And I think George Mitchell might be amenable to that message. So go to thinkprogress.org. They have all the details there.
Okay. And we got a link to moveon.org, which has a list of a lot of affiliates for ABC. And you can pressure these affiliates and also pressure their advertisers. But again, be polite.
Be polite, definitely.
All right. Atrios, thank you very much. Tomorrow night, Tom Hartman will be on the program. I don't know. Maybe we'll see if we can get any other Air America luminaries, former or otherwise. All right, ladies and gentlemen.